Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission. Can I have the roll call, please?
Hart?
Here.
Hafler?
Here.
Ormski?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had meeting minutes from the February 21st meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the February 21st minutes as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of February 21st, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. So again, welcome everyone. I see there's quite a crowd. This might be a record for my tenure. So glad to see you're coming out tonight. When we get to the case that you're interested in, I'll ask you to step back to the podium to my right and to your left and state your name and interest in the case. We would love to hear it. So we actually are going to change the agenda a little bit tonight. We had the Quick Star item in the middle of the evening, and due to the size of the crowd, we're going to move that forward and let that go first. And that way, if a group of you are probably involved with that one, then you would be free to go after that, or anytime you'd like to, from that matter. So we are the Plan and Zone Commission. We're appointed by the City Council, and we review matters of land use and plan and zone and such. And with that, Greg, there's a few seats here and there, and there's some more in the back on my right back there that you can pull out and grab some seats by all means. So with that, we will go to the Quick Star case, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the location is, here's Devil's Glen Road, Belmont Road, the little veterinary clinic site right at that corner there in the northeast. This is a view looking at the clinic here, entryway from Belmont. Belmont Road right here. This is the view looking from Devil's Glen Road and at the proposed entry coming in right at this locale here. This plat that is also being addressed consists of Lot 1 of Hart's second edition, Lot 1 of Hart's fourth edition, and the plat will be known as Quick Trip 1007. This is the new subdivision in its entirety. This is the site plan showing the entry and exit, right in, right out. Gas pumps in this area right here. Means of entry here as well as here. You have a car wash in this area. You have a dumpster location right here. And the gas station, I should say the convenience store, is roughly this area located right here. We have stormwater detention here as well as purification features that are required under our ordinances, and then the parking to be along in these areas, and then also available parking for the people who are, of course, stopped at the gas pumps. There be 10 different stalls. I believe we have 20 pumps, if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that. This is the Quick Star building that was furnished to staff. This is the elevation of what the structure will look like when completed. This is the landscape plan, and we did go through that. I believe that there's a requirement in there for any other additional trees maybe, but we looked at the site, and I think it wasn't, if there were any shortages, it was rather minimal. Staff, in reviewing this plan, this proposal, would recommend approval. With the conditions listed in the report, I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Greg, can you show us on this screen, is fine, the location of the stoplights in conjunction with the station?
Here you have the traffic signal right here.
Okay. And then also, back to the screen you had before, where is the signage going to be located?
I don't know where they're going to hit. I thought it was going to be in this locale here. I'm not...
That is correct, Rick.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else in the commission?
I have a question. There, we were provided with this letter of opposition by Mr. Gatto, and he in there mentions that the sidewalks have been eliminated along Devil's Glen and...
I can't hear you.
Sorry. Mr. Gatto's letter references that the sidewalks have been eliminated along Devil's Glen and Belmont Road. Is that true?
No, I don't believe so. I think we've got a sidewalk that shown right here and the one that is already here.
Yeah, there's a multi-use
path. Going to be, that path is already intended to be extended and used at whatever width we've established that at, which is more than...
There's a 10-foot wide trail there, Greg, on along Devil's Glen, and a 6-foot proposed sidewalk on the north side of Belmont there.
Okay, so those are remaining in place.
They will, yes.
Others in the commission? Greg or Bill, was there a traffic study done relative to this particular development?
We did requisition a traffic study. City's policy is that we talk to the developer and tell him that we're going to do the traffic study. We let them know what the cost of that is going to be. Quickstar has agreed to pay that cost. So Engineer Freeze may have the details on that if you have any questions for him.
Okay, so it's in process, it's not been received yet?
It's completed.
Oh, it's completed, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, basically the analysis showed that operationally, as far as the intersections for Maple Glen, where it ties in to Devil's Glen on both sides, would be sufficient, even with the addition of Quickstar there, had very little impact on those locations as well as Maple Glen Drive.
So on traffic count on Devil's Glen and Belmont, what kind of average daily traffic counts do we have there?
I know along Devil's Glen, well, at least, let's see, let me reference that here. Rather lengthy report. I mean, for as far as what was the question again?
What average daily traffic count? I guess where I'm going with the directionally with the question is, did the study address traffic volumes today, and are we anticipating increased volumes because of the development? Would be one concept, and then the other would be, and I think you addressed it a little bit earlier, but any further development on that, is there anything that would be required as a result of this development to change the traffic lights control as you have it today?
They're basically they're relatively the same. There's going to add an additional, I think it was projected 280 trips in the AM and PM during those peak hour times, but During the year, 16,000 cars go up and down Devil's Glen during that time. So the percentage increase, I mean, it's minimal as a result of that. So and as far as the delay, because that was a concern as far as you know, timing and what people would experience. There's very little or no impact as far as that goes as well. So it falls within the acceptable limits, I guess, as far as traffic design goes.
Would the city make any changes? That's a light where you can sit on Belmont waiting quite a while for the Devil's Glen to turn red and come across.
We did look at a couple options, and I believe that was presented. Bill might be able to help me on that. I wasn't at that particular meeting, but there were two options that were presented to try and reduce overall, I guess, delay that you would experience at that intersection. One would be to take the northbound, or not the northbound, the north and south entrances for Maple Glen there, and essentially turn that into a one-way northbound entering from the north, or entering from the north and then exiting from the south, which would reduce those overall delays that would be experienced at that intersection. The other one was to look at the signals themselves and look at the timing. There are some ways to optimize that, I guess, to maybe reduce that overall delay as well. It was fairly minimal, but there was a reduction.
Okay, because just looking at the site plan with the center, especially I'll call it first entrance, the cars could be queued up if the light's taking a while to change, and you could end up with a little bit of a congestion point there, I would think.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
If I may, I think the city's leaning, and we've had discussions about this, of having somebody come in and look at retiming the Devil's Glen corridor, which I think could really help. And the other thing is, even though Quick Star was considered as part of this, the traffic study was based on full build-out of the area. That includes lots that aren't currently developed. So.
Okay.
Greg, can you show me again on this map where the entrances are off of Devil's Glen Road?
Right.
Okay, so it's, you can only go out to the right. You can't make a left turn across traffic.
No.
Okay.
Scott, did you have a question before you started?
Not yet. No.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else on the commission?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions.
Yeah, Paul.
Just the entrance on Devil's Glen, or the exit. I guess I'm more concerned about the exit. How close is that to the adjoining driveway, adjoining street? To the
north. You mean the one that's further north?
To the one north, yeah.
And I believe that is the...
Okay.
It's quite a ways away.
It's quite a ways.
The court.
Thank you.
Or whatever.
My second question is, as it refers to, or is about the detention pond. It's hard for me to see on my drawing what the depth of that is and how steep the sides are, and I was concerned about whether we have any kind of standards the city follows to design these things.
I can tell you, just looking, if each of these contours, proposed contours, represents 1 foot, it looks like we may have maybe 6 to 7 feet. I can't see the elevations on there either. I can confirm that. I mean,
that's my concern. You know, we are. It looks to be a very steep and a very deep hole close to where we have a bike path. And that's why my question is about these detention ponds, this one specifically, but in relation to some of the other sites we've seen, is there any limiting factor on how deep and how steep you can make these things, and at which point do we require these people to start putting in like underground systems that you wouldn't have these things? Because you go around the city and there, some of them are very unsightly, and this one here could be very unsafe.
There's a city ordinance that requires detention that, you know, the developers required or owners required to follow. So, you know, we enforce that. We don't get to choose where necessarily those ponds are. Some of it's dependent on elevation of the site, that type of thing, topography. Not saying that's the case necessarily here, but they try to take advantage of putting it in probably the least buildable area.
Sure.
You know, and they can landscape that and such to make those look nice. Perfect example, over by the post office in Devil's Glen, I think they've done a nice job over there. Most people don't notice that that is a detention area, well landscaped, and, you know, we look at that. As far as the concern in relation to the bike trail, I think the requirements, you know, is a 3-foot clear zone, you know, for any obstruction. That's not necessarily an obstruction or anything like that, but you know, they may be able to take advantage of some small berming if that's a concern. It is kind of tight there. I'm not saying that that's necessarily something they could do or not based on the contours, but there may be options there.
Why don't you go to the landscape plan, Greg?
Can they maintain that? I mean,
they have to maintain that.
I know.
Yes,
it's going to be very difficult. I think it could be very difficult. It's hard to tell. because I don't know dimensions.
Is that a detention or retention?
That would be detention, so it would be dry.
Okay.
Yes.
And Greg's coloring's a little bit over, but you got quite a bit of landscape material as a buffer.
Take the line off of there, Greg.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what they are.
Well, I'm looking in the code.
If you look at the
landscape
plan, it tells you.
Sumac.
I think they're all low plants. I don't know what.
Red chickleberry.
And I'm not suggesting we put a fence up. I mean, that.
Yeah, no.
I'm just thinking something that's 6 foot deep. Oh, well. That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Appreciate it, Paul. Looks like those at mature height are about 5 by 5 feet, 5 feet wide, 5 feet high. Anyone else in the commission? Last call? Okay, to the audience. Yes, sir, you get to. Please do. Yes, sir. And just for efficiency, but we're certainly here to hear everything you guys have to say, but to the extent possible, if you can not repeat what somebody else said or just come up and say, hey, I'm reaffirming what they said, that we don't have to go through it over multiple times, but we're here to listen to what you say, so please do.
Thank you very much. I couldn't hardly hear anything that was said. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, very well.
I'll try to speak up.
Okay.
I'm not a public speaker.
You're doing well so far. Tell us your name.
My name is August Gatto.
Okay, August, you wrote the letter then, didn't you?
I wrote that document.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm a resident of, and a happy resident of Bettendorf. I own property. I pay my taxes. I live in one of the nicest communities I've ever lived in my life. We're extremely concerned about this. I've given you a timeline of when we were notified of it. By the way, on that particular, is this called a PowerPoint presentation?
You can call it that.
It doesn't show sidewalks.
It does, and he'll color it in, Otto, for where it is. But
well, it's
hard.
Not on there. That's why
we questioned
them before.
Yeah.
It doesn't. There are sidewalks there now. But that presentation does not show sidewalks.
Take a look, August, what he just colored in there on the orange. That's the sidewalk. He put that coloring on where the sidewalks are. It's hard to tell on that print, but they are on that print, and that's where they're going to be located.
I guess what they provided with us was an 8.5 by 11, and we couldn't see it.
We got the 8.5 by 17, so it's tough to read too, but yeah.
Right.
And we did, I know it was hard to hear, but we did ask that question earlier, and it was verified that there are sidewalks both on the Devil's Glen side and the Belmont side.
All right.
Yep.
Well, also, I could read this letter, but I don't know if it's necessary. I've given a copy to everyone on the commission. I'm glad that the fire chief is here, because there's a real concern about when a gas tank is filled, it's liquid petroleum. If the gas tank empties, a 30-gallon gas tank that goes down to 10 gallons will still have 20 gallons of vapor, correct? 20 gallon, all right. Cars have different sizes of gas tanks. So there's going to be in that space, I'm trying to make an illustration here because sometimes these are better than just talking about it. As you know, years ago, automobiles used to have their gas tanks up in front of the driver in the dash when automobiles were first starting. Now they moved them back. So on each car, there's a gas tank. So there's a bubble of gasoline vapor in there. Okay? This all has to be displaced as that is refilled. So all that vapor comes out from every car, from the smallest car to a sedan, to an SUV, to a truck, to a bus, to a large truck. So all these vapors are going to be coming out in that area. And there's a real problem, is that the fire chief will attest that it's against the law to actually be smoking at a fueling station. Is it not, sir? Okay. Were you familiar with that Shell global announcement about cell phones? Okay. People who have cell phones in their hands, either if they're dialing or if they lay it on the car or hold it in their hand, have it in their pocket, and they get a call, that could ignite these vapors. So there's a real safety issue here. It's not just at this location, it's every location. Now, we're very concerned about these things. I'm going to read this, if I may.
Go ahead.
Okay. Quickstar letter dated December 27th, sent to a few residents across Devil's Glen Road, notifying them of an informational meeting at the Bettendorf Community Development offices on January 4th. It was almost zero. It was a very cold day. The letter encouraged us to visit their website to learn more about Quickstar. Quickstar, of course, is in three states, headquartered in Wisconsin. They're in Minnesota, and they're also in Iowa. Mr. Connors hosted the first meeting. Mr. Duman, who's the Quickstar Real Estate Development Manager, displayed this site plan and gave a presentation. Questions and answers followed. Every seat in the room was taken by the Maple Glen homeowners' residents. Residents were asked to raise hands if they were opposed to the development. 98% voted against the proposal. Then the Maple Glen Homeowners Association hosted a meeting on January 27th at the Bett Library. Mr. Connors, the Fifth Ward Alderman, Mr. Webster, the at-large Alderman, Mr. Baden, and Mrs. Brown, the at-large Alderman attended, and there was a lively discussion on the proposal. Another meeting was set up by Mr. Connors. Mr. Morlock, the city engineer, presented the traffic study to the Maple Glen Homeowners Association at the Bettendorf Community Development offices, and this was hosted by Mr. Connors. A discussion followed. This study does not agree with the rural and rural property listing regarding vehicles per day at that intersection. In fact, that study that was done was actually marginal, according to Mr. Morlock. He said every seat was taken. It was done for just on one day for just a few hours. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. That's how they do, that's how they collect
yes,
that data.
Yes, which is not representative. Every seat was taken, and in a show of hands, a vote of a show of hands, only one person gave a conditional approval of the Quickstar proposal. Now, Quickstar is a colossal success. They're in the fueling and convenience store trade. Quickstar is a family-owned, privately held corporation based in La Crosse, Wisconsin. They now have over 540 stores in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. Iowa, they're only called Quickstar. Other places, they're called Quick Trip. They employ over 18,000 people. They're marketing geniuses. It's a vertically dependent, it's a vehicle-dependent business. It knows that all motorized vehicles require fuel, and their drivers and passengers require food and beverages. They are masters at point-of-purchase merchandising. Every type of solid and sugary snack is under their nose of their customers. They plan to have 24 security cameras due to armed robbery potential. Does any facility in Bettendorf have 24 security cameras? I doubt it very much.
I don't know.
I think City Hall does.
Maybe the Colo Hub.
Along with fuel sales, propane tank rentals, drive-through car washes, they sell lotto tickets, tobacco and vapes, which are these electronic cigarettes and their supplies, beer and wine, fresh and frozen packaged groceries, and a large selection of self-service hot and cold beverage dispensers. They have their own fleet of delivery trucks for fuel, frozens, and groceries. They have expanded by acquiring or building bakery, donut, dairy, ice cream plants, bagged ice operations, deli, sandwich production, and a giant controlled atmosphere warehouse for bananas. They sell 2 million pounds of bananas a week because they sell them a little bit below the price. Bananas is the number one fruit sale of all fruits in this country. They sell a few items at lower prices to pull customers inside the store. Bananas, milk, bread, etc. are a few cents lower than supermarket chains. They know more about the habits of their customers than anyone. They also know how to navigate through any planning and zoning commission and city council. LeClaire was slammed by Quickstar Onslaught last month. Maple Glen Home Owners Association opposition and reasoning. This is not a suitable location. Two-thirds of the ingress egress is from or onto Belmont Road, which is a two-lane collector road, intersecting with Devil's Glen Road, which is a four-lane arterial north-south street. The site plan has one entrance from Devil's Glen Road for northbound traffic and one exit to Devil's Glen Road only to the northbound direction. Mr. Connor assured me, he said there's going to be a, I guess they call it a pork chop divider, so that people coming out of there onto Devil's Glen can only go northbound. But you know what that's going to mean. They're going to still try. That's the way people are. This is a signal light controlled offset intersection westbound as Maple Glen Drive is about 30 feet north of Belmont Centerline. Pleasant Valley High School traffic and events, as well as Eastern Iowa Community College traffic, can and do block the traffic on that. Mr. Gaston is here, who lives on the corner, and he says he just sees strings of traffic when they have particular events, particularly if there's something with Bettendorf trying to get in there. The high volume of volatile organic carbons, and that's hydrocarbons in the gas phase, gaseous as opposed to liquid, that will be pouring out of every gas tank that is being fueled with liquid gas is frightening. The industry forbids smoking while refueling. Many people do not heed this warning, as it is a demonstrated fire hazard. Shell Oil has issued a global warning about cell phones being used or carried while fueling, as inbound and outbound electronic devices may spark the high concentration of highly volatile hydrocarbon fumes. On part of my investigation, I've spent a lot of time on YouTube looking up Quickstar and looking this subject up, and they've actually got films of people fueling cars, and then all of a sudden it's a conflagration of flame. Absolutely frightening. Zoning approval is guided by the highest and best use of a property. That is a key tenet in this. It is not the final word due to zoning regulations. Ignoring neighborhood public health, safety, general welfare, and use and enjoyment of property is a right that we cherish. It is an affront to have an always open 24/7 facility with a 17-foot high lighted canopy over 24 to 30 pumps. As you know, they've got pumps on both sides, and these pumps might have, each station will have three sets of pumps. So there's more than it looks like there. They also plan to have an even taller digital screen sign displaying fuel pricing and special product codes. Signage may not flash, but may change every 6 seconds, as noted in the city code. Someone described it, it's going to be like, if that goes in, it's going to be like living next to or across the street from an interstate tollway toll booth, which is open 24/7, which has lighted signs in which cars come and they stop and then they take off after they deposit their money. I don't think I would like to live across from that. We believe this is not the most reasonable use of this site, as there are three existing car washes within a couple hundred feet on Devil's Glen Road, one north, two south, and two existing gas stations, with the third, which has been approved by your body, Hy-Vee will be in the Hy-Vee where the governor's location is. Value of a development is in relationship to its need and local competition. I have studied the zoning code that was completed, what, in November of last year? 285 pages. The Magna Carta, which most of our laws are based on, was only one page. So, a lot of work.
That's
progress,
yeah.
And Mr. Connors has been very helpful to us. We really appreciate it. Your code states that the proposed development must be evaluated and how it affects its neighbors. Intensity-based development does not mean every land use is appropriate everywhere. Our search of Quickstar's history has uncovered comments that Quickstar is a giant ogre who eats everything, any way, anytime, anywhere it wants. Please spare us from being eaten by this. The Maple Glen Homeowners Association is not carrying pitchforks and torches in our opposition. We know and believe the proposed location is not a suitable fit for Quickstar in our neighborhood. We truly hope that they will uncover a more viable and suitable location in Bettendorf. They would be a real asset. They've already got one location up, yes, and one up on, two actually on 53rd Street, one Bettendorf and one in Davenport. If this proposal is approved, we know it will be a nightmare on Belmont Road. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them to the best of my ability.
Thanks for covering that. One thing just I'll note, based on what's represented with the data we have in front of us, let me move this up so you can hear. According to the data we've got here, it says there are going to be 16 gas pumps. Is that what's represented?
They're two-sided pumps, sir. Well, I counted the pumps up there's 24 up on 18th Street. They're numbered.
Maybe, is this Quick Trip here?
Yes.
How many nozzles will you have?
Well, there's more than that because there's a regular gas. There's, oh, hi, Mr. DeMond, right? Sure.
Snuck up on you.
You have regular, high test, and diesel, correct?
We need to address them.
Yes, all right. Well, I asked you.
I'll address it, but I need to be there.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
So that he'll get some clarification on the number of pumps. That's just one thing I could just respond to, but appreciate all those comments. And then, Chief, have we ever had in the city, just for perspective, a fire related to fueling issues at a gas station? What's that been like if we did?
A fire at a gas station is relatively rare. We obviously, there are signage required, which doesn't necessarily deter people from doing things they shouldn't do, like smoking there or using a cell phone. But those type of fires are pretty rare. It's a pretty limited range of flammability with the proper mix of air and gas vapors to actually ignite. It does, when it occurs, make a big flash, and then it's usually a much smaller fire almost immediately after.
Okay.
And it's not a wide boom unless you have above ground tanks, and these are underground tanks.
Okay, thanks.
May I ask one question of Mr. DuMond?
Sure.
At the first meeting, we mentioned that Hy-Vee was going to be putting in a gas station. And did you not, sir, tell us, sir, that you weren't aware of that? You were correct. Do you think he would have proposed this site had you known that another gas station and convenience store was going in the Hy-Vee lot where Governor's is? You would have anyway. Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Okay, any others from the audience, please? Yes, sir.
I hope you guys can hear me okay. My name is Craig Ash. I'm the operations manager for QC Auto Service. I'm here on behalf of Dan Elias, who unfortunately is not able to be here tonight due to medical reasons. we also operate the Express Tunnel Wash in town, which is on Devil's Glen. We have several properties locally owned. right across from that area. QC Auto Service has been in town for 1976. Not that I'm opposed to Quick Trip or Quick Star. We have one right across the street from our new location on 18th and 53rd. No offense to them, but we use local vendors and we always support local when we built our new facilities just 3 years ago. Unfortunately, they use vendors not locally. They use their vendors out of Wisconsin. We also donate back to our schools over $100,000 in scholarships every year. I would love to have them show us where they support locally. We also employ our employees from our own car wash, which there's three or four of them on that same corner. And we've been there with our UDoggy Wash, Express Tunnel Wash. We have five full-time employees there. Actually, I'm sorry, correct that. Four full-time, one part-time. Their car wash is automated. I know they have gas station employees. Granted, we were told that the traffic count is not going to increase, but yet we already have three gas stations there. We're going to add one, and we don't feel it's going to increase car count by 200 cars during those peak periods.
Correct.
So how is that going to support our local owners that own those current stations? Bigger piece of the pie. If I was an owner there of those properties, or even the properties or the businesses, I would not be very happy. Of the gas stations, I'm not in the petroleum industry, so I can't speak for that business. But for those of you that I think a lot of you know Mr. Elias personally, I think, and are familiar with him. So he gives his condolences and sorry he cannot be here tonight. So I'm speaking on his behalf. I just want us to put that in mind is if we're not having an increase in car count, why do we want to divide the pie even further and take more money away from these gas stations or even owners that possibly are going to lose their businesses, which will then have closed businesses that can't pay their bills, or people that can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their employees. We've all been there, and I think that's on a downward slope when we're already dividing it further. That's all I have to really say on this matter. Unless you guys have any questions for me, I will gladly answer them for you if you'd like.
Questions for Craig? Thank you, Craig. Appreciate the input.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Yep. Others from the audience, please. Yes, ma'am.
I'll be very brief. We live on Maple Crest.
Can you tell us who you are?
Vivian Norton.
Okay, thanks, Vivian.
And my husband and I live in Maple Glen. The association, but we're not going to be impacted that much by the station, except that we have to make left turns on Devil's Glen. It takes longer and longer every year to make a left turn on Devil's Glen.
Out of Maplewood?
Off Maple Crest.
Maple Crest,
there's,
yeah.
There's a long line because the Bettendorf High School, when they let out when they start in the morning, there's a lot of congestion at noon and then again after school and then when there are football games, basketball games, and so on. But my point is, I think I don't want to see Devil's Glen turn into Elmore and 53rd. I don't think that's doing anybody in Bettendorf a favor. It increases the congestion along Devil's Glen. It's all going to be right close to Middle Road, and I do think it's just far too congested there. Are there going to be any entrances onto Devil's Glen from the gas station?
One right turn in and one right turn out.
Okay.
The north end of it.
Yeah, initially I thought there weren't going to be any onto Devil's Glen. It's going to be, it's like a shooting gallery down there. It really is. And there's a lot of congestion already, and I don't care what your study says. I live there, and I see the cars going in and out. I try to make a left turn onto Devil's Glen from Maple Crest, and it's very difficult. I said I'd be brief. But the other item I had, with that berm there and shrubbery, what is your sight line making a right turn onto on to Devil's Glen. I'm thinking of the sight line because I know coming off of Maple Crest, the berm is in the way when I'm making a left turn off of Devil's Glen, or off Maple Crest onto Devil's Glen. And it's, you have to be really careful making that turn. And I'm wondering what that's going to do for people coming off of either the gas station onto Devil's Glen or on from Belmont. And that's all I had to say. I think it's way too much congestion, and I just don't think a gas station there is the best use of that property.
Thanks for your comments, Vivian.
Thank you.
Vivian, can I ask you a question about your neighborhood? Do you have access to get out of your neighborhood onto Tanglefoot instead of trying to make a left turn from your neighborhood area?
No, come off Maple Crest directly onto Tanglefoot.
And there's nowhere in that neighborhood to go left other than onto...
When the traffic is heavy on Devil's Glen, which it is quite often, and I see that it's not going to stop, then I go down, I turn right out of my driveway on Maple Crest, and I go down to 29th Street, and then I go over to Tanglefoot where I have a light.
Okay.
Is there anything else? Excuse me? I go from Maple Crest down to 29th Street. Yeah, and then I turn Maple. I go on to 29th Street to Devil to Tanglefoot, and then over. Is there anything else? Okay, thank you very much for your
Vivian.
Attention.
One thing, though, relative to what you said, I heard Bill talk about earlier, or Brian, or both, was that as they look at this, the concept of retiming the lights, which I'm assuming that would be by time of day and traffic patterns too, or would. Is it the same cycle no matter what time of day it is?
No, it's programmed.
It's programmed.
Right now there's a separate program for when school starts and when school gets out. So
okay.
The traffic signals are able to get set up with various programs for various times of the day as needed.
So we could help be looking at the queuing there. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Bill Kimler. I live on Maple Glen Drive. It's been mentioned that one of the solutions to the traffic problem would be to make Maple Glen a one-way. And I rise in total opposition to that. It would be terrible, especially the people that live on Maple Glen on the corners of Devil's Glen and Maple Glen at the north entrance. People would come zipping around the corner there, and they're backing out of their driveway. The traffic would absolutely effectively double on Maple Glen going northbound around. So I hope that option, whether or not this thing goes through or whatever, but I hope that one-way business about Maple Glen will be trashed. So that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks, Bill. Can you just touch on that again, Brian, you mentioned it, but I didn't know that I completely understood the benefit potentially of a one-way.
Well, just that, I mean, when we look at this stuff, it has to do with the delay that the motorists experience going through the intersection on average. By basically eliminating a left turn out of that north entrance exit, it would just reduce that delay overall because it would take and put all the traffic on the south end. And by the numbers, it does reduce that overall delay.
That's my point. All the traffic.
Yeah, there's
on the
I know
end.
There's 17 units in there. I mean based on the traffic counts, I think during the peak hours there was 3 to 4 vehicles coming in and out during. I mean, just based on the study, I'm going by the numbers here. There's just very little traffic going in or out of Maple Glen Drive. Based on
I live
peak
there.
Hours.
I'd have to respectfully disagree. But
okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it,
Chairman.
Yeah.
The traffic study that was originally done by Shive Hattery that Quickstar is paying for was based on full build out of the area. We asked them out of our pocket to go a step farther and take a look at how the access points and the wait times could be adjusted for Maple Glen. So that wasn't anything that was part of the original traffic study. It was something that we asked them to go above and beyond so we could take a look at some options for the residents.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm Vicki Schwartz-Druber. I'm on Maple Glen. I just want to clarify a couple of points that were made. First of all, there are 34 units on Maple Glen, not 17.
17 buildings, I'm sorry. You're correct.
Yeah. Also, the light coming from Maple Glen onto Devil's Glen is not timed. That has to be triggered when we pull up to the stop. It is triggered. It is not a timed light at that point.
So there's a sensor in the street that, okay.
That works sometimes.
It's a camera, Mr. Chairman.
It's a camera one?
It is a camera. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those 24 cameras we got, well, 2,000 all around town, right? Okay. Anything else, though, Vicki? Is that it?
Yep.
Anyone else from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Maria Iannone. I also live on Maple Glen, and I think I speak for most of the residents of our community here. The biggest problem is that we don't want the increase in the traffic, the light, the noise that this Quickstar would bring. And I don't think that a retention pond and some 5x5 shrubs are going to do anything to cut down on what that's going to look like to us and how it's going to, you know, light up the neighborhood. And it's not going to hide the gas pumps. So we all think it's an inappropriate location, and I know none of you would want it next to your house, and we'd really like for you to keep it from coming in next to ours.
Okay, thanks, Maria. Others from the audience, please. Yes, sir. Oh, that's Quick Trip. Okay. Quick Star. I keep calling Quick Trip. Sorry, Quick Star.
No problem. Mr. Chair and Commission members, I can wait, too, if there's others that want to talk, but I know there's a number of questions that I can try to address.
Please do. Sure.
And as there's already one store in town, I'm not going to cover a lot of the general kind of the operational things that you've probably all seen to a certain extent in the store. The store that we are proposing will look exactly the same. It's going to be the same materials. It's the same size. The one thing that is different here is it'll have the have one extra car wash. So it's a little bit larger in that perspective. We do desire to be good neighbors. We work very hard to be that to people. We help people with their groceries. We help them fill up their vehicles when it's needed. We have a button on all of the dispensers. And by the way, there are 20 fueling positions. That's all there is. There is multiple nozzles for different product, but you can't use them all at the same time because there's only spot for one car. So there's potential for 20 vehicles to fill up all at one point. And again, we want to be good neighbors. Cleanliness is very important to us, as well as we want to be part of the community that we're in. I can't give you the whole list of everything that we donate to or the things that we participate in, but we are a major sponsor of the Quad Cities Criterium every year. We donate all of our food before it expires to, I believe it's the Riverbend Food Bank in the area. And again, this is something that we want to do. This is something very important to us. We want to be part of the communities that we're in. We hire people specifically looking at those backgrounds as well. And so that's something that's pretty high in terms of what we look for in people and how we operate. We did hold the voluntary neighborhood meeting, as was mentioned, and the main purpose for that was we knew there was probably going to be some concerns and wanted to get as much information into the neighbors as possible, as early as possible. So if they did have concerns, they could talk about it and figure out with the city what options, and possibly a lot of times, sometimes there's things we can change. Unfortunately, we can't change that we sell fuel and we're a convenience store. That's what we do. We do build all of our buildings to a LEED accredited standard, so we look very closely at the lights, the landscaping, the environmental features, the pond, energy-saving design within each of our buildings, and we've been doing that for about the last 7 to 8 years. So with that, all of our lighting, and I believe this is city standard as well, but they're all full cutoffs. The city does have a photometric plan that we prepare for every project, so you can see where the light is focused and how it goes down to zero or very close to zero at the property lines to meet the city standards. The noise, and we have car washes here, and that's always an issue with noise with the blowers at the exit. We designed this specifically with the car washes on the back side of the building as far away from the residential neighbors across Devil's Glen as possible, and the blowers do focus towards the additional commercial property on the south. There's a pretty good chunk of commercial property that still is going to be developed there on the south side by Mr. Elias. The majority, and this was mentioned a little bit when the discussion of the traffic report occurred, but the majority of trips that go to a convenience store are what's called pass-by trips. And so we don't create a majority of new trips, but we take advantage of the trips that are already on the roads. So that's why you don't see a huge increase in the amount of traffic within the traffic report. But there will be some, because there will be new trips that come specifically to us as well as other stores in the area. But the majority of them are existing trips on those roadways already. The traffic study did indicate for our use and the traffic generation and the three access points are acceptable without other improvements, and the city's already mentioned those. There was one question, and I wasn't sure I understood it, but there was a concern that some of the traffic might back up, and I was wondering if it might have been on Belmont where it would go past that first access point. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why we want to have the two access points, because that does happen at times, and then it's an automatic release and they can head to the access further to the east to get back out. So that's why we like to have those. Based on the traffic study, it doesn't look like that's going to happen very often. It does happen at times, no matter where you're at, depending on what may be happening. But that's something that we look at for design. One of the biggest issues, I think, and I'll let city staff address this as well, the zoning allows for our use. So we're not proposing a zone change. We're not proposing anything that isn't already permitted. And so we were a little surprised at the, and I don't know if just the residents across the road didn't understand that or understand what the zoning was. But the zoning on the south side, Mr. Elias's property, is the same zoning, and we would be able to go there as well. So there's going to be other commercial uses coming into this area that want to be here based on the zoning that is already currently in existence. The pond, there was questions regarding the pond. We do build all the ponds to city standards, and so the city has already reviewed this. The pond is approximately 6 foot deep. It has 3-to-1 slopes. Those are very easily maintained. I don't know if it might be a little bit graphical because those are 1 foot contours, so that may appear steeper than it would if they were 2 foot contours, which in a lot of plans can be presented that way. But it's a very easily maintained design. There's no berms there. I know there was one question about the berms, but there's no berms in that area. It's all just the pond. We do high quality seeding in that area. We clean out those ponds daily. Unfortunately, things blow into them, and so we make sure those get cleaned out quickly. And we do. We mow them. We maintain them. We want them to look attractive as well. And if you look at other stores that we have, a lot of times you can't even tell they're really a pond. It's a depression area, and they fill up every once in a while when it rains really hard. But other than that, you wouldn't even know that it's a pond. Regarding some of the neighbor comments and concerns, and I may not address everything because some of them had already been discussed, but regarding the gasoline vapor, I would agree with with the fire chief, we've never had any problems with the cell phones, so that's a little bit of a surprise. And everybody's had them for a long time. So I don't know if something is happening that's new with specific phones, but I don't know of anything that's happened in the Bettendorf-Davenport area as well. Specific to vapors, that is an area the state has assigned to the DNR to require certain things, certain designs, both for the underground storage tanks as well as the vapors. And so we meet all state standards. We work very closely with the DNR. We have, within each store, we have a plan, a management plan for control of the product, and to make sure everyone is understands what are the safety issues. So we work very closely with the DNR to make sure those plans are to state standard. We do actually support local vendors. We try to get local vendors to bid all of our projects. We go very quickly. Unfortunately, a lot of times in certain areas, we have to look further out than we would like because everybody's busy. And so we can't always get everyone from a specific area, but we do try very hard to make sure that happens. Again, I mentioned the community involvement we have. If you need more information, I can get some information together. We think, and I know a lot of businesses don't agree with this, but we think competition is a good thing. It causes people to do better. It causes them to make changes that are beneficial to the communities around us, to people, to being able to lower prices. Competition is a good thing. That's what we feel. It can be painful. I'm not gonna lie about that, but it's a good thing. Again, I think I mentioned the berm concern, the visibility. We do look at the visibility, and I know the city does as well, with the turning movements at intersections. And I think that was most of it, but I can sure answer additional questions if you have any.
Appreciate that. Can I put you on hold for just a second? Any questions or that from the commission based on the comment from Mr. Dumon?
I would just like to thank him for the clarification on the retention pond. Based on the schematic that I have, it looks very steep. Yes, 3-1 is perfectly normal. That's what we see all around. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I have a few. In regards to the shrubbery in front of the retention pond that appears to meet right up to the sidewalk, how much space is there between the sidewalk and that proposed plants that you have there? And as someone who runs this route in the summertime for exercise, I've seen, you know, it pretty frequently on some properties, you know, the overgrowth that makes actually the sidewalk unusable. So is that something that you guys closely maintain as well?
Yes, it is. We want people to feel safe as well as be safe within our sites and around our sites, which is one of the reasons why we do have the cameras. We work very closely with law enforcement, and a lot of times our cameras will pick up something that's happening in the roadway, and so we always share those videos with those individuals as well. Based on where I see the sidewalk or the bike trail and where we have the shrubbery, it looks like we have a good 3 feet in there. Now we can maintain those and trim those back as well. We want them to maintain and be looking nice as well.
And then along those lines, in that area, what, Mr. Engineer, what is the site? How far does that impede the site when you're trying to turn right hand off of Belmont onto Devil's Glen at all?
It could. I mean, we'd have to take a look at that based on where those stop bars are for the light itself. And I don't see that, I guess, noted on the plan here. And I don't know the height of that shrubbery either on the corner there, specifically on the south end. I guess that would be my main concern.
Well, and you see how the sidewalk isn't straight there. So so it kind of curves and juts out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder about how the, you know, the shrubbery kind of follows that. Mm-hmm. If when you're looking right, if you're just coming up to the line and you're looking right, if you see that dotted line that follows up, it really does kind of look like it could be potentially hazardous.
Yeah, that's something we could look at. I mean, there's a, we have the right of way there. I wouldn't think it would be an issue. The only thing, just with the shrubbery to the south there, maybe closest to the west property line, we'd want to just maybe clarify and take a look at that, make sure it wasn't something that was, you know, in excess of height where you'd have a obstruction.
And then do you know also what the queue is between the corner there and the first entry? How many cars can line up?
I wish I had a scale and I could really, let me see.
I know I was also doing the same when I was looking. It looked
looks to be about seven.
Yeah, I was guessing maybe five or six.
Mm-hmm. If you have a 20-foot car,
yeah,
which is a larger vehicle, so.
I'd say the same thing about seven to eight, it looks like.
I guess my last comment to the gentleman at the stand would just be that you were talking about the zoning, that this is obviously zoned and something that fits your needs for this. And even if you don't build here, another commercial building will obviously go in at some point because of the way it's zoned. However, we're not just a zoning committee. We are also a planning committee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to take a look at what is a good plan for our city overall in that area. So.
It. Anyone else? Oh, thanks. Yes, sir, in the plaid shirt. You're up now. Yes. Sorry for the delay.
I don't move very fast.
That's okay.
I'm interested in the access, egress to Fairway Grove. I haven't heard a word about that. Thought on the plan here, the exit, the fairway, can only turn right. You can't turn left. Anybody have any information about the access to the fairway?
I think what he's referring to is we required a right-in, right-out. It would be the north exit closest to Hound Point Drive. That we've come up with a different design. That right in, right out.
Craig's got it up here. Craig, can you note where that is?
No. It's,
no, that. Yeah, if that's
looking at, you're looking at Caddy's, Greg.
No.
No, that's Caddy's
here.
That's
okay,
Caddy's.
Yep.
This is
right
there's
there.
There's
Fairway.
That's
where. And the next exit towards Lindquist has a right in, right out. That one's kind of one of those over there does.
Yeah.
But that's quite a ways from what we're talking about as far as this development. What was the concern relative to Fairway in this development?
It's not really that far.
No. Well, yeah.
What was the concern?
That it will affect the traffic in the Fairway. It will reduce. You can't turn right on the Devil's Glen.
This doesn't impact the fairway.
Well, oh. we'll watch it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
If I said I'm representing IB, there would be a lot of attention. I like fairway. I like the parking lot. And so we'll watch it.
It's a shorter walk to the door, too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir, in the blue hat. Or black, I can't tell.
Hi, Keith Brick, a resident of Maple Glen Drive. My main concern is the traffic light itself. Number one, there's a very limited time to cross as a pedestrian. across Devil's Glen. It's very quick, and you have to be a fast walker. Number two, most residents use that traffic light to make a left turn onto Devil's Glen because of the increased volume of traffic. So I'd like to make sure that there's enough room for the pedestrian crossing and then not make that a one-way, because people use that to make a left turn is all.
Thank you. Vivian again? No, Vicki.
Maria.
Trying to keep track. Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to address the Quick Star gentleman's surprise by the opposition to this, based on the zoning that's already in place there. What we're used to having there is there was a veterinary clinic, and so in our eyes, it's 100% different. Veterinary clinic was not open 24/7. It did not have lights and additional traffic and noise 24/7. And so for us, this is night and day. And Quickstar may very well be, you know, a good neighbor. We'd just like you to go be a good neighbor somewhere else.
Okay, thanks. Okay, anyone else from the audience? No? Okay, we'll come back to the commission then.
Question for Bill. Have we ever looked at putting a light in Maplecrest? That is horrible, turning left there.
Yeah, at this time, it was looked at for the traffic study. It's not warranted at this time. If you recall, and we've had this discussion before, there has to be certain warrants that are met before you can install a traffic signal.
But it wouldn't be too close to the existing traffic signal to put one there if it was warranted.
I don't know.
We'd have to look at that. We'd have to look
what has to be looked at
in the analysis.
Right. It's part of the warranting process, maybe.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to point out, I have to say, when I heard this, I wasn't happy about it either. But we have very little reason to change this. It's zone C2, mm-hmm. which means that this is proper to be put there from a zoning standpoint. So this body has very little choice but to accept that and try to get you the best plot plan that we can. If you don't like this, and you probably don't, the next step is to go to the City Council. But we can only approve or disprove this plan. We really can't say they can't put it here.
They're essentially legally entitled under the current zoning classification to put this use in. So our job, from our perspective at this point, is to best manage that legal right. I mean, am I saying it right? But they have a legal right to be there. And I get the discussion about number of car washes on the street, number of gas stations on the street, but we don't have the ability to say, okay, the last guy in gets to go in and the next guy who wants to doesn't. We struggled. We got the same thing coming with coffee shops. We've got Atomic coming in. We've got now, you'll see later in the evening, Starbucks coming in, Starbucks inside. So coffee shops, different things. We don't have, unfortunately, for your sakes, the ability to manage and control who's entitled to go in. And the comment about the competition, I think, is true. It is good to have competition. How it affects the others, the strong win, the weak lose, that doesn't feel good all the time. But we don't have the ability to address that as a plan and zone. We have an ability from our standpoint to make sure we're giving you the best site plan we can, and that includes your input and comments back, so that we can end up with what is best under the circumstances that we're in. And the circumstances we're in this case is that it's a legally entitled use in a C2 zone. Well, I don't know that we can debate that in this scenario, but we are there to make sure that the rules around the zoning are followed. And one would be the proper site plan protections, the proper setbacks, the utilizations within the zone. If somebody came in and said they wanted to do a particular use that was not permitted, that's what our job is. But it, just like you have a driver's license and you're allowed to drive in the street, I can't tell you as a plan and zone you can't drive in the street because we don't have that right. They have a right to put that use in that zone. It's a legal right.
And we could have last month or the month before, several months, within the last few months, had this very same discussion with Hy-Vee. They could have chosen to put their convenience store at that location and it would have been zoned appropriately and we would have been in the same position.
And frankly, the same opportunity exists again. It was noted, I think, that the property to the south is C2 as well, right? So this could happen again with the same set of uses that are permitted under the code could end up, you know, would somebody want to come in and put another gas station in? I don't think they would, but if they wanted to, the Plan and Zone Commission doesn't have the authority to tell them they can't. That's not in our purview.
The only time we have that is when we look at zones. That's the only time. And the issue they have there is that the landowners are always going to try to get the most lenient, or if you would, zoning. So you have this tension between people who own the land, people who want to live there, and people who want to sell the land, and that's what we try to manage. But at this point, that's all been done for this poor area, and we have C2. That's what this is. I mean, this discussion should have been done maybe 20 years ago.
Unfortunately, when parcels sit undeveloped, people get used to nothing or a veterinary clinic, yeah. But this zoning has been in place for many years, and it just makes it harder to have the adjustment when you've lived in a neighborhood for a long time and you're accustomed to what's there or what's not there, and suddenly there's a change.
Yeah. This is part of the discussion we'll be having later on when we start talking about the changing of zoning from, what is it, A2 or A1 mm-hmm. to R1, R2. That's going to happen later on this evening. So
everyone's welcome to stay. And
yeah. Yeah, August, did you have another?
I'll speak loud enough. I think everybody can hear me. I studied your code. Your code says zoning approval criteria is guided by the highest and best use of a property. It's not the final word due to zoning regulations. In essence, even though it's zoned, that doesn't mean anybody can come in there. We believe that the most reasonable use of this site, the code states that the proposed development must be evaluated and how it affects its neighbors. Base development does not mean every land use is appropriate everywhere. And it seems like you say that, well, it meets C2. What about the neighbors who've been living here, our taxpayers, resident owners? That's what we're asking you. Now, I don't know if you're going to decide or table this. I don't know your protocol. But just because it's a C2 doesn't mean they have a right to be there.
Bill, can you clarify that?
I read your own ordinance.
I wrote the whole ordinance.
Yes,
that's why I looked at Bill. That's why I looked at Bill.
So, we are, basically what our zoning code is like a rule book. We have a set of rules that says specific uses are allowed in specific zoning categories. This happens to be an allowable use in the C2 zoning district. We also have an array of other rules that are development standards, they're in our subdivision ordinance, they're in our engineering standards, standard specifications. If somebody comes in and meets the criteria of all of those things, as a staff, our job is to provide information, analyze that, and come back to the commissions and the councils and give a recommendation. We give a recommendation of approval for this because the Quick Star came in, looked at our rule book, came in and did their best to their ability to meet all the rules in our rule book. And I think that's kind of what the commission has been saying.
And what is the point of having all these meetings for people, frankly?
I think there was, I'm looking at an hour and 15 minutes of good discussion back and forth. Well, because just because everybody doesn't always get their own way, that doesn't mean that the discussion isn't productive.
Well, we've got a lot of examples over the last few years where the neighbors have come in. I can think of an example, a big one, McDonald's. That was a very controversial deal at 18th and 53rd. And the neighborhood came in and they worked on the site plan. They reorientated the drive-through. We've had a number of cases this year where there's been exceptionally good communication between the neighbors and the developer, and it's resulted in a better overall development plan. So it absolutely does make a difference. Unfortunately, in this case, we can't go to a state, move all the way over to another position and say, they're not entitled to go there. We do not have the legal ability to say they're not entitled to go there if, to Bill's point, they've met the obligations in the rule book. That's unfortunate, but it's a constraint we have to live under. I can't go beyond the powers they've given us to have, and ours is a recommending. But you do have a second alternative, and that was brought up too, that we are a recommending body to the City Council, so that in the event that this does pass this level, it's sent to the City Council, it has multiple readings, and it's subject to approval by the City Council. So there is an additional venue to vet the concerns about it. We have seen things change. We've seen the City Council override, frankly, when we've denied something. So I can't tell you which way that would go, but that is part of the judicial process, the administrative process, here for this to be heard. But from our perspective, we don't have the legal authority or ability to override a user that's meeting the code.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I believe Ann made a really good point too, Vivian, when she said that there's other parts that we do when community development is concerned, where when some new area is being developed, we have a say then in how it should be zoned. If it's going from, you know, farmland into housing development or commercial, when it's kind of that fresh new change, that's when we have the opportunity to say kind of how we think it should go in that area. But at this point, when it's already zoned C2, we don't have the opportunity to say buildings that qualify can't go there.
Vicki.
I'm yeah. Vicki, yes. I've only been in this area for six years in El Maple Glen, but I have been told by the other residents that in prior years there was an attempt to put a Casey's in across the street, and I assume that might have been where the Dan Elias property is. I'm not sure where that was. It did not happen.
I think it was approved.
So, I mean, it doesn't say that you can't say no. You can.
I don't remember that one. Bill, can you address that?
At the time, gas pumps were a special use. Zoning Board of Adjustment did not approve the special use. Under our new ordinance and under the direction of City Council, Planning and Zoning Commission, we tried to do away with as many special uses in our ordinance as we could. So we have created gas pumps are an allowable use in a C2 zoning district.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add just one more point. The comment was made, what does Plan and Zone do? I think in the past, your homeowners association has come before us to bring issues to us regarding problems with your plats and setbacks in your neighborhood.
That's right.
And Mr. Connors, I think, was very helpful to you, and Greg especially was very helpful to you in solving your problems. And we were happy to listen to those issues and help you resolve those issues. And that's just another example of the types of business that comes before Plan and Zone, not just rezoning.
Yeah, that's a good example. I think, if I recall correctly, there were people that were unable to get financing because the bank would not approve because of the mix-up in legal descriptions and lot lines and plats. So we replatted a substantial amount of this to make
right.
it work. So, yeah, we don't just prevent things from happening. No. Okay, anyone else?
By the way, on that last subject, every homeowner paid, what, $200 or $300 to have it surveyed again. Multiply that times 57 units. That's a number.
I don't think we created that issue, but yeah. Craig? Craig?
I'm not going to stand over there. I just got a quick question, just so I can clarify. So you guys said you didn't disapprove or approve this. You were given this. It was already approved, as you said. Can you clarify what you meant by it was already given to you and approved? You had said, okay, so you said the city had already recommended, yeah.
There you go, recommended.
So can you clarify what that means? I guess I don't follow.
Staff recommendation.
Bill, go ahead.
Bill, yeah.
Okay. When somebody comes in and makes application to develop a piece of ground, they come in and they make the application to the staff. Staff takes the application, takes the information that's provided to us, and we look at it as it relates to the zoning and all the other regulations that we have in our various ordinances that are relative to this. It's staff's, always been staff's opinion, if it meets all of our rules, we will recommend approval every time.
And then you pass it along. So even going back to, let's say, I mean, I remember dealing with you guys, our RQ Seattle building, we made about 150 changes. On 18th and 53rd, I know I dealt with several of you.
Right.
And then if we go back to the Casey's thing, which before my time, but I remember I heard of it, that got shot down because of special circumstances, but. So if those adjustments were made, we got shot down several times, but we made adjustments and came back, but it took us almost 2 years to get that done. So you're saying if you would have not recommended us, we wouldn't have got approved? Is that how it goes?
Could
have gone to them without you.
There have been multiple times that we have recommended approval for something that the Planning and Zoning Commission and or City Council has decided not to vote in favor of. But
conversely, there have been things that have come to us from staff where they're not in necessarily 100% recommending it, but the applicant wants it to come to plan and zone. And so we listen to what the staff has to say, we listen to what the business has to say, the property owner, and we take all of those things into consideration.
But in this case, they recommended, you're saying you can't, they have legal right, you're done.
You got an extra assumption in there that's not.
I got an assumption.
Yeah. The point I'm trying to make about what's legally, what we're bound by, is the property is currently zoned C2, and under a C2 zone, the particular use that's being petitioned for is a permitted use. So whether they recommend it or don't recommend it or not, that doesn't change anything on what we do. But that use by our code is acceptable. So we, as a plan and zone, can't come back and say, you can't go there because we don't think it's the highest and best use. They're legally entitled to be there under our code. That would open us up for a huge lawsuit to say, we've made a subjective decision. Just when you guys came in and wanted your auto repair, there was all kinds of people in the room at the same time. And same with the tunnel car wash. Nobody wanted it. So, and that's tough now. And you say, now I'm in, but the next guy doesn't come in. Well, what if we had said to you back then, time out, we're done, no more.
Never said you couldn't be there.
No.
But these are examples. We're bringing up examples, and it's all part of the big mix. So, and that's the same constraint now. We didn't tell you that, and we're not going to tell this guy, Quick Star, that they can't come in either because they're not soon enough to the party. They're entitled under the code currently under C2 as a permitted use. And that's the constraint that this group has to look under. Mm-hmm. How can we make that the best site plan and development and everything else within the constraints we're bound by? That's what we're trying to do.
So then, I guess I just want to clarify and make sure I understood. I didn't quite understand your guys' process.
So. No, that's fine. We're here for clarity and understanding. I've always been told by bosses over the time that my best ones, it's so much better when you understand the why. You guys can come in here and have a clear understanding from your perspective, but I want you to understand what we're under, and then it makes sense. Like, you still may not like it. I can't make it better than what it is, but I can make it as good as I can with your input, working with the developer, and trying to make it the best for everybody. That's our goal. That's my goal as the chairman of this, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understood fully.
No, we're good. We're good, Craig. We're good. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else, or are we at a point where we can draw?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move we approve case 18-008. This is the replat for Quick Trip, submitted as by Quick Trip and as recommended by the city, by the staff.
I'll second.
Okay, and this is for the replat.
Replat.
We have any discussion on the motion?
I have one thing. Here's where maybe we can make a little difference, but my guess is not. I would like to see you cut one car wash bay out and slide everything back about that distance. Just my opinion, but I'll still be voting for it.
Further discussion, I would like to add, if appropriate, to the motion that we also make sure that it's included in the recommendation that the engineering, traffic engineering, be looked at as far as the timing of the lights, because I think that's mm-hmm. critical to the flow of traffic over there.
Yep.
You okay with that for a modification?
Yeah, I'm okay with both of these. I think they probably would have been more apropos to the next case, 1809, which is the actual.
Okay. All right. Let's do that then. I'll move it to the site.
Just sure. The replat.
So, we're voting on the replat.
Yeah. All right. Voting on the replat and the discussion. All those in favor of the motion to accept case 18008, subject to staff recommendations, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18008 is approved. Recommended. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion that we approve case 18009, the site development plan, with a note to be sure that we include the information about the traffic study and the timing of the lights, and subject to staff recommendations.
Might I add the site distance for safety for that right turn?
Yeah.
Yes, add that.
Mm-hmm.
I will second that motion.
Okay. Any further discussion on that motion?
I would like to ask the Quickstar representative if there is an opportunity to reduce the intensity on the site. Perhaps reduce the number of car washes, bays. Perhaps, I don't know, do we have enough parking? Is there additional, can the number of parking spaces be cut back? Those sorts of things.
Parking is pretty close to the required parking.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When we start, I'm going to kind of wax a little bit here, but when we start trying to eliminate maybe some of the parking or maybe the car wash, what we do is we look at the area, what we see in terms of who the users will be, who we have a pretty good idea in terms of the amount of fuel that's going to be moving through a site, as well as the amount of car washes that are going to go through the site. We look very closely at the parking. And if we were to reduce the parking here, there would be problems. So a lot of times when you're trying to trade off some of those things, it can lead to some other issues. In terms of the car wash, we know the area pretty good, and if we eliminate a car wash, it's actually going to cause more backups in one car wash in this area. So I can definitely go back and ask, but I think it might create more challenges.
The thrust of my questions was to try to move further off the corner.
Push everything back
further
to the
east. Push back a little bit just to give us a little more green space and give us a little more, move those bays a little bit farther away from the residences across the street. I know that we've got Devil's Glen, which is fairly wide. You know, it's four or five lanes depending. but and it's a fairly good buffer, but I would like to get more space, if I could, to kind of reduce the impact on the residents.
Yeah, I can definitely look at that again, have our engineers relook at that and see if we can push it back a little bit more. I can't remember what the setback is back there, but we'll take a look at that and see if we can slide things a little bit more, as well as look at the shrubbery that was mentioned on the front.
Thank you.
Roughly how many feet are we from the first car wash bay to the west curb or sidewalk of Devil's Glen?
Over 300 feet.
I'm sorry. If you're asking me, I didn't understand the question.
So take your easternmost car wash bay.
Yes, sir.
So from that point going to the west, I'm trying to figure out how deep it, or how wide that is before we get to the sidewalk and the residences on the west side of Devil's Glen. Just getting a feel for my talking 300 feet, 500 feet.
The building, including the car wash, is approximately 124 feet east to west. And then we have a 6-foot walk, 20-foot parking, 35-foot aisle, 40-feet canopy. I can't always add as fast as I'd like.
That's okay. I'm looking. I see on one side, I see a dimension on the survey of about 400 feet, 390 on the other side. So if you're, say, come from your east side, from your property line to your building, maybe that'll get, so I'm roughing it out, maybe 350 feet.
Yeah, I would guess somewhere around there.
It's a little over a football field between the wash bay and the sidewalk on the other side of the street.
Yeah,
more, because that's the whole width of Devil's Glen.
Right, it would be more than that.
So you'd have 400
feet. 100 feet. That's another 100 feet.
Yeah, you got 100 foot right away.
So
yeah.
We got 450 feet from the car wash bay. Okay, just want to get some perspective on that. Thanks.
So, Paul, are you talking about decreasing the intensity of use by eliminating the bay or just giving space to move the building back?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll take his expertise on if you have one car wash,
right.
Now traffic is going to be backed up to the street.
Yeah, but
I'd rather say
yeah.
Let's have the second car wash. My whole idea is to try to, I think the biggest impact on the neighbors is going to be those bays, the pumps with the canopy and the lights. And so my thought is if we can move the lights, because there's an awful lot of traffic on Devil's Glen, and I think that's going to screen a lot of the use that's going to happen. But at night, you know, with the lights, I think that could be intrusive to those people. So that's my thought, is we can move that over. And I know we have, you know, regulations that say the lights have to stay on the site, but I don't know how effective that is.
Well, I will say, if I'm on Devil's Glen and I'm looking for a car wash and I see a long line, I have a lot of options.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I remember there was discussion about the photometric plan and showing essentially zero lumens at the property line. Is that where we're at?
I have reviewed that. It does meet our ordinance requirements.
Okay.
Thank you.
All good discussion. All right. Any more discussion on that motion? Nope. All right. All those in favor of, case 18-009. Site development plan subject to the discussion we've had. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. 18009 is approved.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Can we clarify, subject to the discussion you had, what that means to staff?
I was going to ask the same thing. Thank you.
What? Yeah, that's a good point. And from my perspective, if you ask me, I'll tell you what I heard. So what I heard and believe would happen next is you're going to go back and talk to your folks on the feasibility of lopping off a bay and shifting the building back. And if that's feasible, then we'd have a revised site plan. And if it's not, that we've approved a site plan at this point.
And thank you. And as part of that, we'll try to slide the existing plan as far east as possible.
Anything we can do to tweak it there too. And again, I know this is not what you guys wanted to get as a result, but I think it's as workable as we can get within the constraints that we've been given. And I do appreciate the effort and the time you took to come out and give us the feedback. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
So this would be a good time to take a 5-minute recess for a bio need, if any, and let you folks go if you'd like to, or if you've loved so much of what we've heard, we've got more to come, about an hour or so. Okay, we're back. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this case here involves land use amendment and two rezonings at Devil's Glen Road here, Forest Grove Drive. And then you have this parcel area here, which is just due south of the rest stop here along Interstate 80. This area backs up right along here to the city of Davenport. This is the older version of what was sent to us for the overview. I'll show you the new one in a bit. What you'll see here is the land use amendment is to take this entire area right here in the city limits, and that's in black right here, and take that to urban medium intensity from urban light intensity and make it all urban medium intensity so that we might see R2 and R4 zoning as requested by the petitioner. This is the more updated version where there is a street now that separates the single family in the south and then this area here, which is the townhouse arrangement. This would be the R4 right here, and then the R2 would be this area down here. So they've increased by this amount right here the area of single family residential. This is an example of what the housing would look like that is proposed on site for the, I believe, the single family. And I don't know if we've got the R or the, I think this may be, I'm not certain, but the developer can elaborate on what is the townhouse type arrangement that's established. Staff in reviewing this has noted in the past that the commission, we tend to defer to you because this is a mixed use situation. We're not certain as to what you might be looking for given the acreage of this size being this parcel being the size that it is. There was not per se determining that idea of mixed use is something that we are leaving to you because there is nothing really but two types of housing here. And under ULI and UMI, to some extent, the land use definition is a little different than what the zoning classes are right here. So we're deferring to the commission, I guess, on this to make a determination of what direction to go.
And hence the evaluate the approval of the land use as opposed to, as we just talked about in our discussion, the recommendation.
Yes.
Right. Great. A timely example of that.
Uh-huh.
Good. All right. Questions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Greg, do you have a any examples from our comprehensive plan efforts that showed what we did have in mind for this kind of an area?
Well, there's the definitions right there. I'll try to get it more in focus.
That helps.
It really doesn't. The thing is, we didn't use the examples. I guess we tried to stray from those. And it's the ability of the land use, I guess, really what we're talking about. And since that isn't working too well, what we had come up with before is something in the definitions that maybe a more commercial use or a heavier intense use would coalesce around the traffic areas that were more heavily traveled. And that was one of the definitions that did come out in evaluating what we were doing in the comp plan.
Yeah, my recollection was these were going to be kind of phased, not phased, that's not the right word, but blended. You'd have, as you went back further away from the main
gradual
road,
intensity.
Gradual intensity. That's right. You would have maybe industrial, not industrial, but commercial, yeah. And then maybe, higher use residential, et cetera, et cetera. So what's happening here is, and I understand we've got up at the top of the page here, which would be the north side. That's where the interstate is. So he's got his heavier usage up there, which makes sense. One of the things that I don't particularly like about this plan is the rectilinear design. I mean, it's kind of, mm-hmm. 1960s kind of planning here.
I like
but,
that word, rectilinear. Wow.
But besides that, the idea is we don't have really the mixed usage that we talked about. There's no commercial in here. So. Okay.
Well, and so the traffic, these are single family homes at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So then traffic to the townhomes, condos will be running through single family homes, residences. And if this is on Forest Grove, and if there's houses mm-hmm. going to be right along Forest Grove, then we're going to be the people who do the same thing that happened to these neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may be, maybe not us, but maybe our future planning people might like us if we say, no, let's push this back.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the one around to be yelled at 10 years later.
Other questions from the commissioner? Were you done, Paul?
I'm the only other question, though, is the big question here for us is, combining the zoning to urban medium or land use, I guess, to urban medium intensity rather than just light intensity and medium intensity. That's probably the issue that's in front of
mm-hmm.
us. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would share some of your observations, and this one's a little unusual because you would look at it as you described and start with something a little more commercial or intense next to the road. And then work our way up. And in this case, the more intense roads at the north end of the development,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which this logically addresses with townhomes on the north end of the development. But yet, to our other discussion points, we've got single family right on the what's going to be a pretty major arterial feeder through the north end of town. And I don't know, again, conceptually, if it makes sense to have townhomes or multifamily, some kind of more intense use. Then single family in the middle, and then multifamily to the top, or some kind of commercial. But then it doesn't work to put commercial on top of single family either. So there's a couple things of this that are a little unnatural. What was the word again?
Rectilinear.
I'm going to have to use that again when I can remember it. I do agree with that observation. It is pretty, when I first looked at it, without any negative connotations, Pottersville. We did look at a development a while back that had long straight street with lots of lots along the way, and we really didn't like that too much, and it was just down the street to the east. So in a conceptual design standpoint, want to look for some more interest and variation in that. At least that would be my perspective. From the use standpoint, I think we got to figure out how we talk about blending those two types up there.
So I have a question though about the concept plan. I mean, we're talking about just a zoning change mm-hmm. at this point.
Right.
This concept that's in front of us is just a concept.
Right.
And so
right.
if we approve the,
yeah. so we're
the zoning change, they could do something completely different.
Right.
As yeah. long as it fits the zoning classification.
That's exactly right. My thought is that by evening the zoning, right now we have two zones, and we have this in front of us. If you multiple zones, then you may drive something more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
By taking that second zone out of here, you make this even more possible. You know, so if we don't like this, you know, by voting to make it one zone, we're making this more possible. I guess that's what my point is.
And we can't add a zone
mm-mm.
that wasn't requested. We can make comments about what we're seeing as a concept plan that maybe we don't think look the best, like an ingress from Forest Grove that goes straight north all the way to the back, which to me looks like a drag strip, mm-hmm. to get back to the townhouses. But again, yeah. Jeff's right, that's not what we're looking at tonight.
I think part of our thought process in the comprehensive plan time frame was that by giving people the flexibility of these blended zones and these mm-hmm. that we would see something mm-hmm. more interesting. Mm-hmm. And so far that hasn't happened.
I think the problem is, in order to do that, the whole area from Devil's Glen to Utica Ridge needs to be under the same ownership or a cooperation amongst the owners
right.
to create an entire community type thing. Without having that,
you're very well
this is residential homes is what we're going to see. Hopefully not with such straight lines, but.
Right. Greg, I did have one question. This abuts the city proper, the line between mm-hmm. Bettendorf and Davenport. Is there more to this development beyond what we're looking at?
To the east, there will be. Okay. It'll come all the way over here, over to Utica Ridge.
So has that already
no,
been that addressed in
it's
Davenport?
It's not been. We're sort of on the first stage of it.
Okay.
I did share this concept with Matt Flynn in Davenport,
okay.
so he's aware.
Because I see there's connector streets. And
right. Mm-hmm.
If I may just make one statement on some of the conversation that's gone back and forth. I know this is just a concept plan, but when somebody comes in and wants to rezone something, we tell them at a staff level, show us what you're going to do.
Sure.
Otherwise, we don't want to give somebody a blank check and say, okay, we'll zone it to this, come back and do whatever you want. We want to have this discussion.
Sure.
Other comments from the commission?
Maybe it's just me, but this just seems like a larger parcel that we're being asked to rezone all in one shot than we normally see.
Well, and if I were to come in and want to do this, I would change the land use to UMI, and I would ask for the zoning designation to be UMI, and it offers you ultimate flexibility in the future going forward. That's not what they requested.
I agree, because I can foresee a time when they have to come back because what they propose us to do here doesn't necessarily work, and they decide that they'd rather do they'd have a C1 patch in here. I mean, the thing that comes to mind is I was in Ames recently, and there's a new development north of Ames where it's got a concept like this where there's residential housing, but then there's a commercial pod in the middle of it, and it I think is very successful because, you know, more and more young people I think want to move into those situations now, and I think that would be a great spot for this big of an area for something like that. But I'm not the person that owns the land or that's developing it, so.
I don't know. I feel like if this whole request was for UMI, I might be more apt to go along with it because that offers a lot more flexibility. You could still put these single family houses in that area.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of what they're asking for, if they want to change anything to
yeah.
do something we wouldn't like, they're going to have to come back to see us.
That's true.
True.
But, I don't know.
Anyone else from the commission, comments or questions? Do we have anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, ma'am.
Dorothy Neff, and I'm a resident of Bettendorf, living on the south side of Forest Grove Road. I'm not familiar, unfortunately, with all your zoning terms, so I'm a little confused about a little bit of the discussion. So when you talk about mixed use, what is the proper zoning for that? As you talk about, I believe you said UMI. So maybe I need a little clarification on all of that. However, Forest Grove Road, because of the redevelopment, we know it's going to become a major thoroughfare. So I am concerned about the traffic there. And to maybe head this off at the beginning, based on the prior discussion, would like to make sure that we don't have another 53rd Street through there. So if part of that gets into commercial zoning along there, the question I have also then is, what's on the south side and how is that currently zoned and where is that going? Okay. So a couple questions here.
Yeah. And I would say, Greg, did you want to just address a little bit of our lingo, UMI, and things of such?
This area here is zoned, I believe, R1, where it's residential, but it's been used, parts of it have for outlots. This area here, though, is, I think, going to be completed at some point to be residential. I don't know how that would fare there. But the UMI is a more intense use. I'll just grab the definitions here and read them.
UMI stands for Urban Medium Intensity.
So does that mean that you can put like Quick Trips in the middle of there someplace? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, urban medium intensity probably does not relate to a Quick Trip. What it relates to is maybe some single family homes, some multifamily homes, some light commercial that complements.
What's light commercial? Examples.
Service. One we've talked about several times tonight, coffee shop.
Like a service-type service-type retail office? Is that a part of it, too?
Would churches go in the middle of all of that? Would community centers, would that kind of things go in that classification?
Churches.
Branch libraries, things like that.
That would go in a ULI, not a UMI. A UMI does have churches in it. It has amenities such as parks, plazas, quality streetscapes, and let's see here.
Fitness centers.
It says smaller commercial uses are appropriate on any street provided that a smooth transition into intensity of uses is maintained. Larger commercial or office uses should cluster around arterial streets or rail lines. And then it says different types of land use are positioned to create a smooth internal transition form from lower to higher intensity uses. However, this transition happens over a shorter distance within the ULI designation as opposed to UMI. And then there's also larger commercial or offices should cluster around arterial streets in the ULI designation. So there is commercial that is basically anticipated within each of these. It's just that there's more commercial in the UMI. Okay, and again, so there isn't a guideline of ratios per se on this either. That's the thing.
So the, one of the attachments to this case is the future land use map that we've approved. And under urban medium intensity, it says C1 and C2.
Yes, those can go in there.
Okay,
those
and
zoning
Quick Star
designations. And Quick Star is a C2, so it could go in along that street potentially.
What you're looking, there's a lot. You have to read the entire.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, entire comprehensive plan, because what you look at is the relationship of any of these commercial uses and how they relate. A lot more latitude if you get into the development character areas of the new zoning ordinance than if you get into strict zoning regulations
and
that we were looking at earlier.
From our discussion about the plan, it's all hinges on how these areas stack up to each other and how
That's
they
right.
transition and what intensity is next to what intensity.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, we've set some flavor already at the intersection with Middle Road and Forest Grove, and we've got the big development out there, and there is commercial along the collar of that street. On the south side there as well. So it would not be inconsistent necessarily to have some light commercial along Forest Grove.
So would you explain that? I'm not sure I understood what you said. What was just approved on Forest Grove?
Or were the Betplex or...
The Betplex.
And the cluster around there. There's, on the south side of that, we've got a proposed, I think, hotel, some restaurants and uses like that that'll be collaring around that big development.
So that's in that major intersection area. Is the land use plan then, is the intent that Forest Grove Road is going to become a major commercial thoroughfare all the way through there? Is that the intent?
Currently, the cross-section of Forest Grove is one lane in each direction in Bettendorf with a dual right-left turn lane in the center and 6-foot bike trail on each side. Mm-hmm. So that was our intent, the way it was designed at this point in time.
To be commercial on both sides of that?
I'm talking about the design of the street. It's basically one lane each direction. You've got some other amenities on there. So what happens 30 years from now, heck, I don't know.
But given what's happened at the intersection of Middle and Forest, it wouldn't be illogical to think that there could be other commercial, lighter commercial uses along that corridor, proximity to the interstate, the noise factors and things like that you deal with, those kind of uses, plus all the supporting homes and things would be looking for businesses in proximity to their residences. So I don't envision it, and this is just a Roy view, envision it becoming a 53rd Street, as you referenced, but it certainly could have more of a commercial demeanor than what it's seen in the past.
So that would have to be along the north side, because everything along the south side is non-commercial. Do I understand that currently correctly?
That's correct. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes.
Everything is currently
non-commercial.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay, I just want to, again, I would like to see less commercial along the street there. But I understand that it's a major thoroughfare, and it is one lane right now on each side, but the road was also constructed wide enough so that it needs to go to two lanes both ways. That will be changed, is my understanding.
That can be, yes.
Could be, yeah. And just, I go out that way every morning, and I can tell you the traffic going across on Forest Grove has increased substantially from what it was. I come up North Middle Road and get on the interstate, and many times the people heading west on Forest Grove don't even make it through the light anymore at Middle Road because there's that much traffic, and they're heading west to take that nice, convenient route through town and avoid 53rd Street.
Yes.
Yeah. But thanks for your input, Dorothy. Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Heesch. I actually live at the 3172 Forest Grove, the farmhouse on the southeast corner of this plot. Over the last couple of years, we've been dealing with the new road. When we went through the process with the city for the new road, we were pretty much told this was going to be a residential corridor. That's why we were given a road with one lane in each direction, center turn lanes, rec paths. It was supposed to be residential. I would strongly suggest keeping it residential. As we all saw just a minute ago, if you go too high, then you're trying to walk something back that you just can't walk back. As you mentioned, the traffic on Forest Grove has become very fast, very bad. I would even consider you need to speak with the Bettendorf Police Department. They've started using my driveway as a speed trap.
Good to know.
It's nothing. One of our farm vehicles was almost struck by a car doing at least 70 miles an hour.
Oh.
So if we can keep more residential in here, less commercial, I think you're also going to keep a safer road and a safer neighborhood. You do have a school not far away, and as you continue to build, you're going to have kids crossing Forest Grove going to school. So I definitely think keeping residential here would be the best for the city. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, Michael. And just in general, we recently redid the whole code, and some of the designations, to your point, they're kind of confusing. We're all learning what they mean, too. And a lot of it's kind of a semi-blank canvas. There's certainly guidelines and things. But like Jeff had indicated, one of the goals of it is to create like what he saw in Ames,
where you've got a mix of use within a development, and it tends to cluster, and rather than being lots of destination in, it could be use surrounding a nucleus, if you will. So those are some of our aspirations. Whether it'll grow into that, time will tell, but that's one of the things we're trying to create. Yep. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, I am Chris Yalcey with Yalcey Real Estate and Development, the petitioner. As before you, we've been for the last couple of years looking at an opportunity to expand this way from where we've built, roughly and developed about 1,000 different units, both in multifamily and single family in Illinois. And when we considered this piece, we considered basically what the two previous speakers had just talked about. We wanted to be obviously considerate of the neighborhoods. We want to make sure that we fit in with the neighborhoods, because we certainly want to be a good neighbor, which is why we are very specific in what we're selecting in our zoning, which under the UMI guidelines, rather than just have a blank UMI, we would very much are in favor of being very specific with what we have here before you, which is single family and multifamily. And the multifamily, for whatever reason, I'm not sure, we sent over a picture of what we're going to be doing, but they're basically, they're four families attached. There's no detached garages. They're all, you know, pretty much the same. It's been a very successful product that we've developed over the years. All two-car garages, again, all attached. So to us, it doesn't make sense for us to have any commercial, any kind of commercial in the front, for obvious reasons. We just heard, you know, 20, 30 minutes ago, for the last hour and a half, of some of those reasons. And we're very, you know, like I said, in favor of using this particular piece of property for the single family residential, along with the multifamily in the back. So have any kind of commercial in the front would cause us to pretty much reverse and have multifamily as a buffer, and then have the single family in the back, which from a marketing perspective, it just doesn't make any sense that we would have multifamily in the front closer to Forest Grove Road versus having in the back, you know, up against I-80 rather. So that's some of the things that I wanted to talk about. We've been in business for 30 years, and like I said, we've developed quite a few different subdivisions and both single family as well as multifamily projects. And one of our builder partners, in fact, Jim Work, is going to say a few things. But again, we did send a picture over for whatever reason. I'm not sure why I didn't get with.
Is that this one, Green?
Yes, sir. That's it.
There you go. Is this a?
Yeah, a little dark, isn't it?
Yeah. So is that a four unit then?
It is. Yes. The two, the windows in the front there are garage. Basically end load garages on the side.
Oh, okay.
And then when you, yes, and then you go in the front loads. So.
Gotcha. Okay, good. But you're describing part of the dilemma when we're talking about it. It's a little unusual to have the two roads, and your logic on the intensity, I think you're in a marketing issue if you're trying to put single family as you approach I-80. That's the wrong way to go.
Well, I would agree that we certainly don't want single family back up to I-80, but again, when you look at the neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods, all the residential has residential up against Forest Grove Road, which is the reason why we're putting the single family up front and having the multifamily in the back.
Okay, appreciate the comments, Chris. Was there other you wanted to add as
yes,
well?
Yes, Jim.
Okay. Good evening, Council. My name is Jim Work. I'm the owner of Silverthorne Homes. I just wanted to give a minute real quick, expand on Chris's thoughts. In the packet, you've seen some of those photos of the homes we would build there. We're really big on curb appeal. We don't want you to think that it's some sort of production housing or something. Everything we do is pretty appealing from the street, and we want to make sure that you understand that. I understand that the plan is a little maybe lackluster in terms of, I forget the term he used.
Sorry, Pottersville. Sorry about that.
And furthermore, I just want to let you know, we kind of heard from some of the people talking about the Quick Trip project. We're local. I live in LeClaire. My wife grew up in Bettendorf. We use all local subs and contractors. We would be billing majority of the single family. And furthermore, if my personal thoughts on what I see from home buyers is that commercial is really a turnoff. I mean, having small kids myself, everybody wants to get away from commercial and backing up to those things. In LeClaire, we just had a quick trip approved, and that was a big to-do because we have residential backing up to it, like we saw earlier here. My fear would be is if you put commercial in the front, that those single-family lots are then going to be less marketable, and then, you know, where do you put it? And I don't want to see the single-family against the rest stop because I know my wife would not want that. So we just try to come up with that plan together to try to bridge that gap. It's a little unique piece because it's not just I-80. You've got to remember the rest stop is also there. So not to say there's anything bad about that, but I don't know that you'd want to look out your back window to the rest stop. So,
yeah.
If I might?
Yeah.
Could you tell me why you chose R2 instead of R1?
Yeah, do you want to tell Mike?
Mike Richmond with Townsend Engineering. We discussed that with the developers, and I think it was mainly a setback issue just to try to get a few more units in there for single-family homes.
The nice thing about, yes, R1 does require more setbacks, and we're seeing this more and more. But traditionally, R2 has only been reserved for the older sections of town. A few years ago, we started letting people use R2 instead of R1. The thought process was that they didn't like the space needed in the front yard, they wanted it in the backyard. Now we're seeing, to me, people using it simply because, like you say, you can get more units on a piece of property. The thing about R1 is it requires you to vary the setbacks in the front so that you don't have things like you see right here. And so my question is, can you do something, or would you do something more creative?
Yeah, that was the next point I was going to address. This was just a concept to show the different uses for the zoning questions. And when we submit a preliminary plat, if we get to that point, we'd have a more curvilinear design with varied frontages and so on to make it more appealing.
Just to jump in, Mike probably hates me for asking it, but that was kind of actually one of the ideas I had, because even if we can't do a curvilinear street, at least if we could maybe vary some of those setbacks as we build those single families. But as you said, a lot of people want the backyard space, not the front. So it wasn't really just primarily units. I mean, it really wasn't. So.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. Appreciate it. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Sure. Yeah, Dorothy, go ahead.
You know, obviously, I'm a proponent of residential areas there rather than commercial. I will say, however, from a marketing perspective, good luck. If people go into that area without understanding the noise volume that comes from I-80, they're going to be in for a rude surprise. We live on the south side of Forest Grove Road. Our backyard is Forest Grove Road. We have a nice fence there. But on certain days, the volume of noise sitting in the backyard is not good.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter?
Mike Richmond with Townsend Engineering. Could there a little more clarification on the zoning, I guess? If we were to ask for just UMI for the whole track, we could still do a similar design, correct? We could do R2 and R1 and just have it as we. So it would be a similar case where you might have to backtrack down the road because, you know, you've approved this and then the developer can come in and do just all residential, even though you've wanted some commercial interspersed. So that's kind of our logic behind that. But we're flexible to go for UMI, I would think, if we could still do the same use.
All right, I'm looking at Bill. Bill, can you?
It's based on dwelling units per acre. So that's how you would have to design it, Mike, is number of dwelling units per acre based on the UMI.
But what about the concept then of the other uses under the UMI?
It was never the intent to say everybody had to do everything that was suggested in the UMI of the ordinance.
Okay.
It was to, if somebody chose to do that, to allow it. You know, because I would love to see somebody come in and at least zone something a development character area so we know that our zoning ordinance that we worked on so hard has some validity to it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my personal opinion.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-017, rezoning of from ULI to UMI is submitted.
I'll second. This is a land use.
It's a land use, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-017. Subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay. 18-017 is recommended.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-018. This is the rezoning A1 to R2 as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-018. Subject to staff recommendations, rezoning.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to vote against my motion because I think the proper zoning is R1, not R2.
Let's have a little discussion on the motion. So what, I guess I'd like to hear
okay,
the developer.
Okay, this is, here. Well, I think I kind of explained my reasoning. Going back to the old zoning book, in there it talked about that R2 was reserved, maybe not reserved, but specifically for the older sections of town, smaller lots, that was already done, and for development in that area, it would be given the consideration that that's where it was going to go. But that new development would be R1. R1's bigger lots, R1's got different setbacks. The idea was to vary the look. And we've kind of gotten away from that. And I don't know that I've been consistent with this, but pretty much every time we've asked to go in a new area to R2, I've come by and said, no, it should be R1. So that's my thought process. That's the reason I'm sticking with that. I think it ought to be R1, not R2.
Bill, can you give us an insight from a staff perspective on that?
One thing we did with the new ordinance is we did reduce the setbacks in the R1 zoning district, where we had the staggered in the front. There's no longer that requirement for the staggered. They can still do that if they wish. Rear yard that was 40 foot in depth has dropped to 30 foot now in the R1. That was kept our zoning board busy all the time with variances for rear yards if somebody wanted to put a deck in or something. So the difference is 30 foot front yard, 30 foot rear yard in the R1, 25 foot front yard, 25 foot rear yard in the R2. So not the drastic difference that existed in the previous zoning ordinance, but there is a difference.
Right. There's still a difference. I think there's a difference in side yards too.
Yes, you're correct.
And the 4 units still acceptable in the R1?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, is the 4 unit still acceptable in the R1? The 4 townhouse. Unit,
four
the
units,
townhouses?
No, single family only.
That'll be
R4. That's R4.
R4.
Yeah.
So the R1 on all of it would preclude.
Oh, no, this is not R1 on all of it. This is just R1 on the in the section that they're asking for.
Okay, I need to get that clarified.
I think that's correct.
Okay, that's the only section we're addressing right now then.
Right, right.
Okay. Okay.
As someone who's built R1 in an area that's largely R2, right, John, over on Monks? I would say there's not probably the huge difference that you're looking for. There's, like Bill was alluding to, you don't have to vary the setback as you're developing an area. That really the only main difference is mostly side yard, so how, I guess, like if that's what you're going for,
there's
less
a couple
space
things
between
yeah.
them.
I think if you look at the well, I've kind of got an issue with
only part. I missed that.
We have larger homes, we're on smaller lots, we're putting them closer together, and I'm looking at potential fire issues. You know, you've got very little space between homes to fight fires. I think if we're not going to use it, why have it? If we're not going to use the R1, why have it?
John, what would you say is the main difference between the R1 and the R2? Because we have kind of a mix.
Well, I think Bill outlined it very clearly. Yeah. Now there's not as much as there used to be.
Square footage of the minimum square footage of the lots, of course, is a big difference, too.
Are you required to have the protrusion of the structure as an R1, which you are now with a 30-foot setback, or you have to have the staggered setbacks so that you have a 75-25% ratio?
Not in the ordinance.
Nope. Not in the ordinance.
I think they took that out. We took it out.
I'm going to say, Paul, that I think there's a high possibility that real estate trends are changing. And as younger buyers come in the market, that they're not necessarily looking for as large of a yard. And some of these developments that we're seeing are appealing to a different demographic or different interests, and that's the direction they're looking. Sometimes we see developments that have shared maintenance because the people who are looking at the properties don't really want that responsibility, and they're not necessarily looking at the yard. So, you know, there's different approaches to this that might not all look at things exactly the same way. And if I'm a developer, I want to sell my lots. You know, I want to turn it over. So I sometimes think I'm listening to the experts who are trying to sell.
I understand we're all here to make make this as profitable for people as possible.
Right.
I understand that. I think it's also up to us to define what kind of community we want.
Sure.
You know, and you can see what R2 gives you. I think if you look at where most of the areas are too. Look where most of the areas are one. Now, granted, that's changed recently.
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to see what that's
right.
going to mean.
Right.
All right. My thought process: this is a new area. It ought to be given the best consideration we have. And right now, that's R1.
I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I'm probably somewhere between there, frankly. Just looking at it, and the comment was made by Dorothy about the noise factor. I think some of those constraints of the property up there lend it a little more in my mind to the R2 possibility in that market point than it does the R1. If this were farther in, I'd be absolutely no way is this going to be R2.
Right. That's a valid point.
Yes. Yeah. So up there, I think it kind of fits the market area and with the constraints. So I hear what you're saying and appreciate the comment. And I think that for me, that's more appropriate a little farther down. And here I can probably, I'll say go Ann's way a little more just because of what it is and where it is. So, yeah. Okay, any other further discussion on the motion?
No.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18019, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, Greg?
Nope, we got one more.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18019. This is rezoning of A1 to R4 as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on this one?
I'm good.
Oh, Dorothy.
Explain, you had three motions in different sections, how they got rezoned or what you're recommending on the map here.
First one.
Greg's going to draw it for her.
The first motion was for the land use, which is the underlying use of.
That'd be a circle around all of that, right?
The whole property. So
that
had
to
happen first.
Which says there can be the multi-use, there can be commercial.
Actually, it always had some commercial, Dorothy. The commercial, not commercial, but a mixed use for multi, I've forgotten now what it's called, urban medium intensity. That was right down along Forest Grove. Between Forest Grove then and Interstate was actually urban low intensity. So across from where you would live, this is no change. basically the zoning is the same. The part that was zoned was more internal. Okay, the part that was, I'm sorry, the, where the land use was changed was internal to that, all right? But what it, what the first motion was to make that whole piece of property the same land use, which is medium intensity, all right? Now, the first, the second motion then was below that, that was A1. The whole zone, the whole plot was A1. So the first section was to go from A1 to R2. This is now to go from A1 to R4, which is up against the interstate.
That allows the townhouses.
The townhouses to be built up along the interstate.
Mr. Chairman, could we have some discussion about the townhouses? Because I feel like Lori brought up a really good point earlier when you stated that if you're someone wanting to, you know, develop or build a home, a single family home, do you really want all of those, the traffic from the townhomes coming, you know, down through your neighborhood going to the main artery, which is Forest Grove?
I would hope the developer is not really going to produce what's up there.
Yeah. We can hope.
Because I would hope that they understand they're not going to be able to sell too many single family homes on a racetrack or drag strip.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think we'll see something better when the site plan comes back.
Yeah, Karen, I think there were 14 or 15 lots from Forest Grove North till you hit the R4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 lots. So, yeah, at 80 feet, you're 1,200 feet up there of one straight road. So I guess from a development standpoint, our, and we got there earlier in the discussion, is something that flows and works a little better and helps the traffic flow, because I think it is an issue for all that density to the north to come through the single family with two arteries. So some way to make it flow and mitigate the traffic would definitely be in something I'd be looking at in the future site plan for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18019, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18019 is approved. Now we can move forward, Greg. Please.
Mr. Chairman, this next case is rezoning and a replat. You're taking an area here which will be used in the future by Centra Credit Union for their site.
No, thank you.
You've community commercial land use. You've C3 zoning here, C1 zoning here on the lower area that is separated by the alley, and this is a concept showing the building. And then showing the parking that is outlined, and then means of ingress, egress here. This is what it originally was as part of the Bettendorf Improvement Company, which was block 8, lots 1 through 12. You can see how these were all segmented potentially for what was residential at one time. But what's happening now is in the Centra's first edition, the replat, you have the vacation of the alleyway and the maintenance of an area for the utilities to go through. You have this easement here, which was required for utilities for our sewer. But we do have setbacks in the downtown district area of 5 feet removed from the property line, which is part of that overlay district. So it conforms to that. Just to give you an idea, Credit Union will be over here. This is the view from 20th Street. And this is that alleyway that goes down there currently. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval of both the replat and the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the committee, please.
Mr. Chairman, I must abstain from case number 015 and 016.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
I'm going to take the opportunity to step outside.
That's extra. Okay.
You're setting a precedent.
All right. Questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question, and I know we're looking at rezoning and platting, not the site development plan. But we did see a picture of, hold on, I gotta find it. Yes. So I'm just curious. We talked about a vacated alley. We talked about ingress and egress. Is the drive-through for the bank? Show me where that is.
I think the drive-through is right here.
Okay. Two of them, maybe, or is it just one?
I think it's the one. I don't think there's two there.
So then the dividers
Even
help
Island,
separate the traffic.
Right here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. I know that's not what we're talking about, but.
No, but that's a good question. I guess, is the engineer and developer here, too? I see him coming back. Yep, here we go.
Hi, my name is Brent Marshall. I'm actually the attorney for Accentra Credit Union, and I think Lindsay is here with Russell. She can answer any questions about the site plan or the development plan, but you are correct. That is the drive-through, and I just want to make clear before I turn it over to Lindsay to answer your questions about development and site plan issues that this is a project in conjunction with the city. The city of Bettendorf and Accentra Credit Union have entered into a development agreement to develop this piece of property. The south portion of the parking that you see on the diagram will eventually be sold back to the city and be used for parking. There is an easement for ingress and egress that's a non-exclusive easement that will be used for the city's drive-through or for the credit union's drive-through, and then as well as access to the parking. So that's kind of where we're at this point, and I'll turn it over to Lindsay.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Eisentrout. I'm the project manager from Russell Construction for this project. For your questions regarding the drive-through, the two lanes to the north side of the alley are both going to be two drive-through lanes. The one will be in the first teller line will be in the building, so that'll be the first lane, and then the second lane will be a self-sustaining, I guess you could call it, teller position, and then the third lane would have the ATM enclosure. So all three lanes would be a Centra credit union branch utilized. So the idea behind the alley to the left side is that would be a two-way alley, so anybody parking in the north or south lot would be able to exit out the left side onto, I think that's 20th.
Lindsay, can I have you and Greg talk and draw at the same time together so I can make sure I'm understanding what you just said? So, Greg, there's one.
Yes.
Okay. And there's two.
Yep. So those two will be actual teller lines.
Is there a canopy over those, Lindsay, or
yes.
Not? There is a canopy over that. Okay. Yeah. So that's sort of really structure all the way through to there. And then is there one more lane, essentially, that would be?
Yes, yeah, so the last lane would be the ATM enclosure, which would be the one just directly south of those two lines.
Oh, there's no exit.
Traffic or?
Correct.
Okay.
They would encourage only Accentra members to use that direction of traffic. Otherwise, if you're parked in the lot, they would encourage to go out to 20th.
Mr. Chairman, I do have some questions that maybe are before this.
Sure.
Didn't the city have plans for this area? I thought that during the comprehensive plan, we talked about this becoming something different. Let's put it that way.
You mean like an alleyway?
Well, I thought we talked about an
alleyway.
Well, the whole parcel, but I know we talked about an alleyway, which is going to be a pedestrian area, and I didn't know if this was too far to the whatever that would be east. But I also thought that there was some type of plans for this area for something different. Yes, Fred Bill.
Bill Connors, 3295 Lundy Lane. Originally, there was a concept plan to make this a city plaza.
Yeah.
As we went through goal setting with the council a couple of cycles ago, they thought that they'd rather see development on this site. So they've kind of changed the course.
Okay.
And they have an agreement with Accentra.
What about the, I'm going to call it the bus terminal. I don't know really what the title is, but that's where The transfer station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is right here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is that going away? It's not there anymore? Okay.
Also, Mr. Chairman, you did get that letter from some folks here.
Let me note that for the record, too, 19th of March, 2018. Dear Mr. Beck, I want to express the disappointment that my dad, Herb...
Getch.
Herb Getch and Uncle Hans would have with the rezoning. When they sold the properties on 20th Grant Street, they were told it would be a green space. I understand that things change. So, with that said, we cannot stop the process, but my brother, Craig Gutch, and I have just felt like we should express our thoughts on their behalf as they both have passed. On a second note, we are available to talk about selling our other property with this rezoning at 2024 Grant Street. No doubt parking is always needed with these rezoning projects. Thank you for taking the time to read our concerns. Regards, Sherry Bolliger and Craig Gutch. Thanks for reminding me that. Okay. Other questions from the commission?
Just out of curiosity, you have an Accentra credit union in the area, correct? What's the plan for that property?
Yes, I believe the plan is to sell it back eventually after they move into the new location.
To the city?
Yes.
That's part of their
agreement. That's part of the agreement. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Y'all want to go home, I know. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion for approval of the rezoning request, case 18-015, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-015, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-015 is approved. Okay.
I'll also move for approval of case 18-016, final plat replat of the same property, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-016, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-016 is approved. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is a replat of a Hopewell First Edition and three of the lots that are contained in it. And it's to shift some boundaries within this area. This is the original plat. See the lots here were 20 through 22. And this is the area showing the zoning. The PR and R3 zoning are all the same in terms of regarding what they do to each of these lots. That was part of the overlay district agreement. So nothing's changing in that regard to impact these lots in a different way. It's just the boundaries that are changing. They can be in these two different zoning classes without any implications. So this is the final of what you're seeing is you have the original lot lines here. Those go away, and you see an extension this way and an extension down here. So lot one is the one losing ground. Lot two has somewhat of a break even, and then lot three here is essentially the one gaining to some greater extent. So pretty much it, and it was the cleanest submittal we got out of all of them.
We needed one of those about now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay, questions from the commission? None from the commission. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope.
I'm the developer, and I'll talk if you want, but it's a very simple thing. So if you're okay with moving it, I'll
have a seat. Mr. Nolan, thank you for your offer, though.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, really, for all of you. So, all right, back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-014, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-014, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-014 is approved. Okay. Craig?
Our next submittal is for Century Heights 18th edition, and it's located north of Hopewell. Avenue. The proposed area is right here in the southwest corner. This is the original plat, essentially, or I mean preliminary plat, and this pretty much shows you the entirety of it. It's this area down here, right near Hopewell, as it was redesigned to go straight through. And this is an enlargement of that area. Further in the southwest corner, this is intended as an outlot area to store water. And you already see there's a marking here for the 100-year flood within that outlot area. And this is the final plat showing the 28 lots that are anticipated, the outlot right here. Entry coming in off of Hopewell up to Ginger Creek Road, fanning out in Ingalls, and then Ryan Road, Ryan Court. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission or comments? Nope. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-020, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion. We have a second to approve case 18-020, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18-020 is approved. Okay, Greg.
This is the Wyndham Villas project, and it involves essentially two lots. You come up Middle Road, got Crow Creek Road here, and it's at the southeastern corner. You have a division between C1, mainly up in this area, R4 down here, and this is again the R4 area intended for the townhomes and your commercial back up this way. This is what the original plat had intended, or the site plan. You had all these office buildings in here, you had a bank here, and you had a potential restaurant with other offices and retail in that area. And now you have the Wyndham Villas right here, and there's an additional plat that is further detailed showing all the easements that have been added, and this is the one you're considering, showing what's necessary for ingress, egress, and other easements, sanitary sewer. All those things outlined on this plat in far greater detail than what we had before. This is the commercial building right here, and then you have your fourplexes here that'll be rentals. And coming in, you have your parking here. You have this area segregated by the plat so that this is the commercial C1. This over here is the R4. This is the landscape plan, and I believe we did have in that we did require, I believe, maybe 8 more tree factors to be a part of this. It's because as we looked at this, we looked at the buffering area, and the buffering requirement is what comes into play on this. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval. I would ask, are there any questions? And this is a glance at, I believe, the commercial structure, and then here we go with the atypical for what you would see for the townhomes.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions or comments from the commission?
Where are all the neighbors?
Only one called me.
I thought half the group was going to be them again.
Nope, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, good. We'll get you in just a minute. Okay. I have one question, Greg. You made reference to the ingress and egress easement. I'm wondering, I'm just not following why we need an ingress in, or they need.
You're looking at allowing the circulation of the traffic from this parcel here. If someone decides this, if this gets sold separately,
okay,
you're going to need this access because it comes on part of this lot to get in here. We want the circulation between these two, and in order to make it more saleable, you want to handle that problem right now.
That makes
Agreed.
Sense.
Okay, I couldn't figure out why you're granting access to yourself, essentially. So, okay, that makes sense. All right. We looked at the concept of this. As noted before, one of the questions I had was regarding garbage. Is garbage going to be picked up at each unit, do we know? Or is there a central place for garbage?
I'm Adam Seitz with Advance Homes. For the commercial site, it's going to be handled by a dumpster facility that will be on the left-hand side of the building, as you can see there as you come in, between the residential and the commercial. That will be the dumpster pad there. And from our understanding with the city, that there'll be city services for dumpster or for trash removal for the apartments.
For each address, then.
Correct. So they'll all have their own cans.
Good. Okay. Hey, while you're there, let me ask you too. I had some concern about the back-to-back or left-to-right parking and somebody coming out of the side load versus the front load. Can you talk to me about the logistics of that?
Based on our calculations and measurements, there's enough room for a vehicle to be in front of each parking stall. So each one has their own garage spot. So the one bedrooms have one car garages, the two bedrooms have two car garages, and there's enough room on the driveways for there to be one car inside the stall, another one outside of the stall, parked directly behind that vehicle, and room for all the other vehicles to still get in and out.
Okay, so Greg, can you dots for me? I like this dot thing here where we can talk. So put a dot in front of a double door.
You mean like right here?
That would work. And then a dot over to the adjoining side. Just
that's why we flared out the driveways the way that they were, okay, to have room to do that.
So you can have a car parked up against the front of the garage door.
Correct.
On the double door. And you can have a car parked up the front of the door on the single door.
And still have room to back
by
in
each
out.
Other.
Correct.
Perfect. All right.
And then we also have off-site central location for guest parking for overflow. But with the garages and with the driveways, we're well within the parking requirements for the city.
Okay. And bedroom size on those?
They're one and two bedrooms.
One and two. So
yep. All single-story ranch units, no stairs whatsoever. And then also on the site plan, we do have actually pads for the trash removal for the tenants to bring their trash out to, so that way they're not just kind of strewn around. There'll be a set locations for them to bring their cans out to.
Okay, good. Anyone else questions? Anyone from the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18. Is that I'm having trouble there. 023, the amended final plat as subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18023. Subject to staff recommendations, amendment of the final plat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18023 is approved. Okay.
I'll also move for approval of case 18024, the site development plan from the same parcel, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18024. Subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18024 is approved as well. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we have two cases here for AAA automotive site. This lot right here is anticipated for commercial right here for Starbucks, and then this area up here eventually might be used for townhouses. And this is a view looking down at that lot to the southwest. Here you have Palmer Hills Court coming in. This is the view looking down Middle Road, Bettendorf Office Products right here. You can see the bank here and then Bettendorf Office Products right there on the site. Essentially, this is your means of entry. This is the existing plat that's controlling the second edition AAA office park. And that is being replatted to accommodate an entry that was allowed or not allowed at that time. And also to split the lot into two pieces and then also add this easement for the proper utility connections. The site plan shows the Starbucks right here. means of entry, again, right in and a right out that'll have to conform, this will, to our standards to make sure that there aren't any left turn attempts. Also noted is that there will be an acquisition of an easement on the adjoining property to accommodate this stormwater outlet. And staff, in reviewing this proposal, looked at what had been provided. Landscape plan meets the requirements, and we recommend approval of both the replatting and the site development plan. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Yes, I have a question. Greg, can you pull up the aerial? There we go. Okay, so if I am, let's say I'm at Subway, I can drive into the Bettendorf Office Products parking lot and cut through the back and get to AAA Court. I can also get to Starbucks once this is developed without having to go out on Middle Road. And I don't know, we're just looking at this parcel for Starbucks, but I have heard comments by the Bettendorf Office Product staff about the amount of traffic that cuts through there now, and I can see that increasing, and I just want to have feedback from you, from Bill, from the audience.
Yeah, if you recall, site development plan that was done by the Geithman family a couple of cycles ago.
Yep.
They have provided from their parking lot, basically comes straight across, I think, the front of Papa John's Pizza, that will come right over and tie into that court. So
okay,
there'll be no reason for anybody to cut through Bettendorf Office Product.
So once that parcel that's just north of Bettendorf Office Product gets developed, then that'll solve that issue.
That is
okay.
Correct.
Great.
So I have a question. Are we saying there's going to be an access now? If we approve the new plat, which is a replat, there will be an access off of a Middle Road?
Yes.
That's correct.
Right in, right out.
Right in, right out.
I find it dangerous, intellectually and legally interesting that we have a original final plat that says, that contains these two lots, that says there can't be access permitted to lots 6 and 7 from Middle Road, and we're circumventing that by allowing somebody to replat two lots within that original plat.
Very interesting legal question.
So does
I it
does separating them
causes
eliminate
me some concern.
I see where you're going. I mean,
because you've just allowed somebody, I mean, you've got a plat that was originally laid out saying that that encompassed these two parcels that said you can't do it, and so we allow somebody to replat and then allow it.
And it's not just the original plat, it's not just the lot that we're dealing with, it's a larger piece.
Right.
Right?
So you're allowing them to make it smaller and then granting them access that was once originally not allowed.
Yeah.
Was it sold? How does that,
I don't know.
I've always thought it was a good thing to have an attorney on the
it's curious the city attorney took the night off.
I don't know. Is it under different ownership?
I don't know. That's a good question.
But to Jeff's point, you've got a recorded plat that puts a certain restriction on all the properties subject to the plat. And now we're taking a lesser included total of that plat, replatting it, and essentially
carving out an exception
by operation of replat, which seems to be inconsistent.
We have an answer.
Oh. So besides wanting to know if I can bring a cooler and snacks next time, can I I also have an idea that I should get a punch card, and whoever has the most punches on their card gets to go first.
We're going to order stuff. We're ordering Starbucks. That's a good one.
Could maybe get you a free car wash. At least
get him a card. So, a few things. My attorney researched this and said that it was a city-imposed comment for the first not allowing access, and that through the replat, the city can, withdraw that and allow the access. I think that, and I don't know if it was in the plat or if it was in the covenants, that it mentioned that there could be only one other access point onto Middle Drive for one of the lots. Well, Bettendorf Office Products worked with Geithmann's and didn't ever put in their curb cut. Anyway, in researching this with our attorney and discussions we've had, that's, I guess, our approach to this is that the replat and dividing it into two lots is a measure because we wanted to add the brownstone concept behind the Starbucks. If you look, you can see that in faint lines. So we're going to come back with a request for rezoning for the back lot, if you will. That was the reason for the replat. So I don't know that I've answered anything other than my attorney said this is how we needed to do it.
Well, so. I don't have a, conceptually I don't have a problem with it. I guess is it the middle road access, is this going to be a right in, right out only, or are they going to be able to
right
pull
in, right out?
Yeah. Okay.
Right in, right out.
I guess I don't have a problem with that. And thinking about it, at the time it was platted, the entire parcel presumably was owned by one owner.
It was AAA.
People have been given notice that we're surrounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing I would add, sorry, this is pertinent, and Bill knows this. We formed an architectural review committee, and the members of that committee are the owner of Bettendorf Office Products, and then also one of the officers from IH Credit Union. And then we've also discussed the easements with IH Credit Union and been granted that. And so everybody, and the third member is also a lot owner of the Architectural Review Committee. The third member of the Architectural Review Committee is also a building owner in the subdivision. So people on both sides of us are well aware of what we're doing, and the Architectural Review Committee already approved the project at this point. So
yeah, and
we're not trying to be sneaky.
No, I'm not suggesting you are. Those people had a notice and an opportunity to be here and to object and be heard, and there's no one here.
Yeah, to Mr. Kellner's point, I mean, the original plan or the plat says that you could have access to Lot 8 from Middle Road, but that access isn't being used. That's what Mr. Kellner was saying. So essentially, we're kind of using that for number for the new plat.
Yeah. So the it doesn't increase the anticipated number of accesses ultimately from Middle Road.
No.
And being right in and right out, it's actually better.
Yeah.
And it's very close to Lot 8.
I guess I would just like to go on record and saying I understand the reason why we would approve this.
It's a legal term.
But it would be something to watch in the future. I wouldn't want to see people use this as a precedent that they can come in and replat a couple of lots in order to
gain access.
In order to avoid a restriction on a plat that they didn't otherwise like.
If you would be so inclined to approve it with a note that the city attorney can review with my attorney before it goes to council.
That's what I'm thinking too, yeah.
Or even better almost would be consent from all members, all folks that own a lot in the plat, assuming that everybody's on board with this.
All the lot owners in the subdivision?
Yeah.
I have an issue with that because I have one that I know will vote no.
Okay.
And Bill's aware of that, which we don't need to discuss in a public forum.
Okay. But I think you've got them. I mean, you've got the majority then. An overwhelming majority, it sounds like.
But I think that would be the ultimate belts and suspenders if we had a release from everybody in the original plat. But I guess I
or could, the majority.
Or even just
instead of everybody.
Even just those along Middle Road.
As I said, the Architectural Review Committee, which speaks for the subdivision, has approved it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So and subject to City Council approving as well.
I think the plat documents may have something to say about the power of the Architectural Review Committee, so the Architectural Review Committee may have the power to approve it. And that's something if the city attorney, Bentner city attorney, conferred with Mr. Kellner's attorney and made that determination, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, agree. Good catch.
I just don't want to set a precedent that you can replat something and override a restriction on the larger parcel.
Yeah, yeah, good catch.
We can't have the city attorney contact Mr. Kellner's attorney and discuss this before it goes to City Council.
Okay. Kevin, how many cars can you queue in the site plan here before they hit the window?
I'd be guessing if I told you that. I know we looked at that, and Starbucks has pretty strict requirements about that. Can you tell, Brian?
Oh, boy.
I'm just scaling off a parking space, so, I mean, rough numbers, you can get probably maybe 8 to 10 in there.
I would have said 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
8 to 10. All right, that's good.
Am I seeing? Is there just a few parking in front? Is this mostly meant for drive-through, or is there seating inside? Is this a totally just a drive-through?
No.
Unit.
Parking here. Parking there.
But there's indoor seating. Is there indoor seating?
Yeah.
And out, and there's a patio.
Yeah.
Parking across the street. For that year? Well, that's just the access drive.
Well, along the access drive, yeah.
I'd say about 7. It looks like maybe 7 for queuing.
You have people driving.
Looks like a walking across.
Same problem as Atomic Car.
Is that a safety issue?
Well, if they line up this way, they can have a pretty long queue. If they come in here and back up, they're going to block the
heavy parking
and back and out.
We're at code with parking for this size building in proposed use?
We are.
Okay. No further comments from the audience?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I move that we approve case number 18-021, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-021, replat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-021 is approved. Site plan?
Mr. Chairman, this locale.
We have one more thing.
Hang on a minute. More, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-022, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-022, site development plan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-022 is approved.
This location, Mr. Chairman, is south of State Street. Beartooth Court here, and you remember you did a replat for this lot to gain access for 62nd Street, which will eventually be networked down here, and this is Monk's Court right there. This is a preliminary plat showing the nature of the lot, prior to grading, things that have taken place, and this is a drainage way that will be used as part of the detention system. This is the site right here, looking over for where the proposed drive is coming through from Beartooth Court, and you're looking at this right here. This is the parcel that's involved. This is the lot in question. This is the replat that you looked at recently for Bettendorf Industrial Park to make sure that each of these lots had the proper square footage and width. And this is the lot right here that we're looking at, which is lot one. This is a site development plan, means of entry coming in off of Monk's Court. Building right here is outlined as a contractor condo. There's also exiting the stormwater going in here to the storage area. And then we got the dumpster there. We've got all the parking places out front for the locale. This is the way the buildings will look for the contractor condos, similar to what is already available. And the landscape plan is here. Staff in reviewing the proposal recommends your approval with any of the conditions listed in the report. I'd ask her, do we have any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission? Comments? I just have one. Looking at the grading, to Paul's earlier point, off on the, there we go. Seems like it's pretty aggressive slope in there. Tell me what's happening there, Greg.
This is already a ditch. It's already been put in, and they have a plate in here to try to dissipate the water as it's coming in. But this has already been placed in, and essentially nobody in their right mind is going to get back in there or do anything. It'll be maintained by them. But this is part of what had already been done as an overall plan that was proposed by joining these two subdivisions, essentially, or at least having this portion here. This has been graded some time back. So they're simply taking and stopping the water, restraining it for a period of time, and then it's allowed to pass through. So this ditch essentially was already in place some while back.
Okay.
Is there a creek in there?
I'll let Mr. Freeze describe that.
There may be some low flow water, that type of thing there. It's actually a detention area is what it was graded for as part of the overall plan.
Okay.
Is that butting up to Valley Drive?
Mm-hmm. Off of State, I think.
Down. I mean, the detention pond. Oh, it's way back. Okay.
Any other questions from the commission?
No.
Nobody in the audience, Kevin? All right, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 18-002. Subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay.
It should be
003. What? 002.
Okay. So
No, I'm
first.
2.
0-0-2. I'm getting tired.
0-0-2, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right, we have a motion. Did we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-002, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-002 is approved. Okay, Greg.
I think you want commission's update or city council?
No, we got one more. Interstate 74.
Oh, yeah. Trying to make this thing go along as fast as I can.
Well, I was ready to. I was ready to move to approve it before we even looked at it.
This is the I-74 Technology Park 6th edition, and essentially this whole area here is what is included in the site plan area. This is right here. You're looking at Tanglefoot, and this is the area as you would see it over here. Lot 4 and the detention outlot area. This is the area right here. As you can see, the topography sloping downwardly, and this is the detention area right there. Again, this is looking from 40th Avenue, and you can see one of the buildings, one of the two that has already been approved, going up at that site. This is essentially the platted area showing lot two. This is the original site plan with the two buildings on it. The issues regarding the sewerage of these buildings has been resolved. And now we have an additional three buildings being added to this area back here. And again, these are contractor condos. The site plan and landscape plan met with our standards, and in reviewing these concepts, we would recommend approval with the conditions in the report.
Thanks, Greg. Questions or comments from the commission? Nope. Nothing from Kevin. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-025, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Ooh, that was close.
Go ahead.
Lisa, who won that?
Ann.
Whoa. Keep trying. Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case. Here we go. Case 18-025. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-025 is approved. Greg, I think we're to the last one now before Bill's update. Don't we have subdivision
is,
ordinance?
Something that I think Mr. Freeze might be handling here regarding the ordinance municipal update of Title 12, and it deals with bonds and performance bonds as related to our subdivision ordinance.
Yeah, that's correct. Currently, we have a two-year bond that we require for contractors to follow for various projects. We just want to get kind of up to date on with neighboring cities and as well with our own CIP projects, just bringing that to 4 years just to protect the infrastructure, that type of thing. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it. We've talked to area developers on this. There is a small increase in fee for that insurance, and we had no negative feedback from that. It's a accepted standard in Davenport as well, so it's just we're trying to get in line with everything that way. So
should we just ask him to read this?
I do have one question, if I might.
Sure.
In reading it, it talks about standard specifications adopted.
And oh,
you said something
here,
about
Kevin.
It goes from
Kevin.
Sorry.
It goes from
got a prize here.
November to December.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yep.
It's your punch card prize.
Goodness.
And then the
you have to come up front.
I guess my concern is it becomes effective immediately upon approval.
Yeah, we're also. I'm sorry. I missed that first part, and that's my fault. We're also looking to just make a change as far as how we adopt different changes to you know the subdivision. Let me see. I'm reading here, but just that we're allowed to make changes as needed. We had an arbitrary time frame of November 1st, and it doesn't allow us always time to get those things through and approved on time. So just with different changes to the subdivision ordinance as needed, we
I guess my concern is that it's effective immediately. So what does that mean? Does that give I mean, you're talking about standard specs, which is pretty routine, but you could change things, and then they become effective immediately. What does that impact?
We aren't.
They're already on
process
and, or do you, or is it going to be like? I would think it would be effective six months from the date of effect. You know,
yeah,
we
aren't asking for any changes right now. We don't anticipate anything this year per se. I mean, there's no intent to necessarily do anything like that.
That's
so
fine.
Maybe that's
the wording says become immediately effective, and I don't know what that means. Does that mean that if I'm doing a project for you and you decide to say, hey, instead of asphalt, you got to have 6 inches of concrete, and that's effective immediately, does that mean now I got to go put in concrete from now on? Or do I have, like, you know, is this project okay?
If we're going to make a change
with asphalt?
Yeah, if we're going to make a change to the subdivision ordinance, so we'd have to take it to this body, and I believe City Council, if I'm not correct, for approval of any changes to that. So it would still have to go through a process in order to do that. We can't just arbitrarily make a change on our own.
The policy has always been anything that's in the chute is something that goes by the existing rules.
new people that come in and approach would be people affected by this new bond requirement.
Is that spelled out anywhere? I guess my concern is, you know, I'm being maybe nitpicking here, but if it's not spelled out somewhere that it says this, it could be if this is going to be, this does not impact existing contracts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This says that it impacts existing contracts, unless there's language somewhere else that I'm not aware of that says it doesn't. I don't know why you don't say, you know, something like
implemented only in sure.
future projects or projects after this date or something like that.
Are we talking about the ordinance that's in front of us?
Yeah, the one that's standard specifications adopted. All right, this is where the city could change anything affecting how the building or the project is built. And it's for good reason, but it says effective immediately. And what I don't understand is if I'm under contract with the city to build something and I've made my plans on putting in certain product and then they decide that that's not okay, can they force me to use this other product even though it may be more expensive? And the way I read this, it says becomes effective immediately, and unless there's some language someplace else in the code that says, you know, existing projects are grandfathered in somehow, that this would be make that
well, I think
effective.
I mean,
it says construction in effect at the time of construction, though. That's the sentence right before that.
I mean, I think what this is talking about, if I'm understanding it correctly, would be anybody that is in the process of making improvements and making construction has already had the proposed construction or improvements approved by the city inspector, so they're going forward. So when this is passed as a municipal code ordinance, it would only affect people coming in and making applications for new
process.
Construction going forward.
I hope that's what this says.
Well, I think it's similar to any law that a legislature passes, et cetera. Once it gets passed, then it goes in effect going forward. And if you are
grandfathered, or
you know, you're sort of grandfathered in, or if you're already in process of doing something, I think that you can't, they can't retroactively go back and say, well, now you're subject to this, and even though you're halfway through your construction, you have to tear everything out and make it compliant because they were approved by a building permit or a process.
I don't think they could say it has to be torn out, but I think they could say that everything from now on has to be built to that standard.
I think if they were,
I don't think it's clear. If we're discussing this, I don't think it's clear, and I think it should be clear. Unless, like I said, there's someplace else in the code that irons this out.
It wouldn't hurt to add a sentence, I'm sure.
I would assume this has been reviewed by the city attorney?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it, but
we can put it
I will tell you that our past practice has been to not impose things on people that are already.
Yeah, but you're leaving.
Next person might be a jerk.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
John, what would you do, John?
Here's what it says. It says the type of materials and construction for improvements within subdivisions shall be in accordance with the city's standard specifications and standard drawings for construction in effect at the time of construction. Then it goes on and said specifications can be revised at any time and be effective immediately. So that means it would become then effective for construction that has not yet been built, but could have been
permitted,
or
okay,
could have.
So think I'm starting to get on board with what you're saying, Paul. So
yeah,
so I come in this month and I get my plans all approved, but I don't build for 6 months or 9 months or a year, and all of my projections were based on what was in effect today or this month, and now there's been changes and it changes the whole
absolutely.
Cost of
people
project.
Right now are going out and they're bidding projects that are going to be built as soon as frost is out of the ground. All right, in the meantime, the city could decide that they want to make it a different kind of material and it becomes effective immediately. Now, all their bids are bad.
Is there a time? Is there a, if somebody comes in and gets an application or permit to build, doesn't that mean they build according to this construction standards in effect at the time the permit was granted?
Yes.
And how long is the permit good for?
You have to start within a 180-day period.
Okay.
Once you start, as long as you continue work on the project, it's good until the project
is. So if you don't start until 181 days, then you have to go back and get a new permit.
That's correct, and then you're subject to the code that's in effect at that time.
So this could be changed to say the type of materials and constructions, standard drawings for construction in effect at the time
of the permit.
Of the permit.
Or the
of permitting or of at the time the permit was granted or the time the permit is in effect, you know, the from the date the permit was granted until the expiration of the permit or something like that would then I think address that concern. I'm not trying to wordsmith the language.
I'm not sure I want to rewrite it, but I think that
I think you have to.
I'm not saying yes.
I think it's a valid point.
I don't think I'm the person or we're the people that should draft it. You know, I think that we ought to let the city get back together with the lawyer and redraft it.
And I think it should be around the permitting too, because if you have somebody that gets something approved and then they literally sit on it for 3 years, and they go back and get a permit and say, well, I can go under these standards you had way back then.
Although I suspect this
there's got to be some sort of reasonable trigger in there.
This language, I suspect, may have come from some sort of broader guidebook potentially that is used uniformly in the industry, I would assume. I don't know.
Come from SUDAS?
Yeah, we're looking at eventually adopting SUDAS would be the goal, to be in line with our neighboring city and just to create a more of a standard for construction.
So is this the language that like Davenport uses?
They should be in
I don't know if they I don't know if they use this language or not. I'm not sure.
Building in Davenport is terrible.
Yeah, I understand. I'm
just
not trying
say,
to
like please let's not do whatever Davenport does.
Do I have a motion?
I don't know who you're friends with that works
Mr.
Davenport.
Chairman, I'll move that we do not approve case 18026, the ordinance amending Title 12 Chapter 3, or rather, how about if we table it or defer it?
We can have the city attorney look at it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, why don't we defer this until the city attorney can take a look at it.
I'll add that to the list.
I think we
hear
when we talk about it.
I'll make a motion to defer if we need it.
Second to defer?
We have a motion and a second to defer case 18026. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Bill, do you have an update?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to your last meeting, the City Council did approve the plat and the site development plan for the Mid-American substation on Valley Drive. Approved the plat for the Bettendorf Industrial Park 3rd Edition and the site development plan for Rivermont Steam Building at 1821 Sunset Drive.
All right. Well, thank you all for the enduring meeting. I think we covered a lot of ground tonight. So with that, we are adjourned.